Drew and Mike Show, coming at you from the DealsInD.com studios on day one AE, after Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah!
Oh, brother. Well, I tell you, it was kind of
sucks.
Cool to see Eddie was getting the major media props on all the Good Morning shows and the evening news last night.
Yeah, they didn't act like it was a foreign story, too. Like, they couldn't, you know, like, Eddie Van Halen?
No, they didn't.
Everybody knows those
songs.
It's
the real deal, yeah.
I was just watching a 2015 show upstairs, just because those are the last shows. Very strange, because Eddie is completely on his game. But, you know, now there's Wolfie. Roth is, I don't even know how to describe him.
He's just his own thing.
Yeah,
isn't
he did a
kind of always.
He did a sit down thing where he was rapping for, talking to the audience for about 3 or 4 minutes, which is just horrible. I mean, I didn't see Eddie, but I know he was grimacing.
I think he mainlines Molly's. He just won't shut up no matter where he is.
Oh, brother.
He's one of those guys that won't shut up that I kind of enjoy in a weird way.
It's funny.
I admit that I do, too. I mean, Clark and I used to laugh our asses off at the... We used to get the... It was like a transcript.
I remember that,
from the Vegas shows, yep. And the jokes were terrible. But, I don't know, we always ended up laughing about it. And you could hear him telling them. Anyway,
ain't
all right.
Got nobody!
We'll have Gary Graff, the Rock and Roll Insider, coming up. First since 2017, the Hope Not Handcuffs program has helped 4,700 people get the help and resources they may not have gotten otherwise. If you're struggling with a substance use disorder or addiction, whether it be heroin, alcohol, cocaine, anything, you can go to one of 100 participating police locations and ask for help without fear of being arrested. You'll be treated with compassion. They will call a volunteer angel who will come to the police department, assist with paperwork and getting phone calls made to get you placed. Or your friend placed, or your family member placed that day. First step doesn't have to be the hardest. There is hope. HopeNotHandcuffs.com. They've got all the police departments participating, etc., listed there. And the Aldo Eye Center is back. They were out for a few months. They're all COVID-free, protocols safe. They're doing LASIK again, topography-guided LASIK, the most precise in the world. And, of course, the multifocal lens replacement. And you can get $1,500 off if you mention the Drew and Mike Show. Call 800-398-EYES or go to yaldoeyecenter.com. And by the way, the Aldo Eye Center now is a third location in Rochester on Rochester Road, just north of M59. So remember, $1,500 off, 1-800-398-EYES or go to yaldoeyecenter.com. Whether it's LASIK or multifocal lens implants, get rid of those glasses and contacts and all that old, boring technology. All right, so... Boy, I watched just an incredible, incredible series last night called I'll Be Gone in the Dark on HBO about the Golden State Killer.
Right, yeah.
Wow. And Patton Oswalt's wife at the time had been obsessed with this case, and from her laptop and with her crime blog and all the connections she made, she damn near solved that 50-some-year-old or 40-some-year-old series of crimes, over 50 rapes, over 10 murdered, probably more.
How close was she?
She was very close. She was like the technology for another DNA test away, which was about 3 months away. And she died of an opiate overdose, which, you know, and Patton Oswalt is her husband. He's all over the documentary. And amazingly, his first thought was, well, of course, after being completely crushed by it, was that he had to help finish her book.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I was trying to think, would I be that good a guy? Would I do that? Ah, oh, fuck it, eh? I'm fucked.
That sounds like a lot of work, right?
It actually did. A lot of help. I'll put it, I will say that, because the best, one of the better true crime authors came in and helped along. But this thing is just incredible. I mean, incredible.
A really very successful book.
I'll Be Gone in the Dark. We'll get to that. in just a bit. But first, Gary was busy yesterday. Gary can never be so available. He's the opposite of John Legend. John Legend, always available. Gary Graff, never available.
It's Gary time. Do you think you
are? Gary. Now, what did we get bumped for?
Yesterday?
Yeah.
I had actually signed on to moderate a Facebook Live Q&A with Bare Naked Ladies and Don Was.
Whoa.
And we couldn't quite change that, but they all had good Eddie Van Halen stories.
Oh, cool.
You know, I guess Don Was lived around the corner from him in California. So he talked about going to Eddie's place and jamming together, playing tapes. And, you know, Bare Naked Ladies were on the same label for a while. So they had actually, you know, had a chance to meet up with them. One of the guys still had an autograph from Eddie that he got when he was a 15-year-old at a record store in Toronto. So it was a nice way to share the grief a little bit.
Wow. Well, this, you know, I hate this part of the story, but I'm just wondering, because you probably do know a little bit about it. The last few years, it seemed like, oh, he's really sick. Oh, no, he's at a Tool concert taking a picture. You know, it seemed like he was really trying to live his life, but he was obviously not entirely well.
I'm really interested in when somebody, whether it's his current wife or Wolfie, actually talks about what the last few years have been. I know that the obituary that I wrote for Billboard was written some months ago during one of those scares you mentioned.
That
it was like, okay, Eddie's going to drop any day now. We need to have it ready. And of course, it went on for another few months. But yeah, clearly he was not well. He was supposedly going over to Germany to get some sort of, you know, experimental treatment or progressive treatment. And, you know, it sounds like he was not right for a number of years, although he clearly could function. You know, Wolfie taking those photos and videos of him out at a Tool concert and some of the other things they did. So it was a long, slow battle and a decline.
So just out of curiosity, what other obits have you written that are in the can?
That's just a jinx.
Oh,
we're not talking about any of that.
Would you say
it feels creepy,
Ozzy?
Doing it?
It does.
Ozzy?
It
does, you know?
Did you write Ozzy's?
You know, a couple times I have called up the subject and said, look, I've been assigned your obituary. Can we get some fresh quotes?
Wow, that's a great technique. To have somebody quoted in their own obituary about their death.
Okay,
well, Gary, listen, all the big publications do this. The New York Times has an obituary file that's scores of them, you know, are ready to go.
Are there more than 10 that you've pre-written? Yes?
Yeah.
That looks like yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He died like a dog.
Now, do you ever feel like, you know, I really feel like writing something fresh? Or is it better to write it almost, if you have a choice to write it a month in advance, I mean, you don't know it's a month, or right after the person dies, if you have time, would you choose to write it beforehand? Because there's really not as much emotion.
There's not as much emotion. And you know, listen, we need to get it. You need to get it published as fast as you can. So you want it ready to go. And you can go back in and freshen it very quickly.
Right.
And of course, you leave the details out. I mean, my Eddie obituary did not say, you know, October 6th. Wolfie spread the word. You had holes in the story for that. And then when you jump back in to do that, you can maybe add something or subtract something if necessary.
Yeah, speed is oh so critical. And by the way, Johnny Nash was the Farrah Fawcett of yesterday.
Yeah.
Wait, Farrah Fawcett died when Michael Jackson died the same day.
Yeah.
Yep. Right. And Johnny Nash, Johnny Nash was there, which he won't get his due. And poor AC/DC, they announced details about their new album and Eddie blows them right off the stage. which actually did happen in the late 70s.
Really?
Yeah, Van Halen played dates opening for AC/DC, and it was, it was with Bon Scott. At the time, you could, you know, it was hit or miss, and on the off nights, back then, Van Halen would blow them off the stage.
You know, I don't know if you're you were even here yet, Gary. You were probably in college. Somebody sent me something today with some pictures, and they went to see Van Halen at Masonic in 79.
Yeah,
does that sound possible?
I wasn't here yet.
Okay,
but that makes sense. They came out. They were either opening the big shows at Arena, or as the first album started to sell, they came up, they did the large clubs and then the theaters. And, you know, I don't think, and I could be corrected, but I don't think they were headlining arenas till the second album.
Well, I got to tell you, seeing Van Halen at Masonic, can you imagine what a show that must have been?
It's a wonder Masonic still has the back wall on it.
Amen.
Yeah.
It was a really cool story. He was a senior in high school, and they heard WABX said, Van Halen's coming in. And so they went and stalked them at WABX, and they got a couple pictures, and it sounded like just an incredibly nice experience, and went to the show and on. So, they were all friendly guys, I thought, generally speaking. My contacts with them, and Eddie was generally very nice. I know he had there were some strange goings on with that band, but
he was humble though too.
Very humble. I mean, one of Eddie's great quotes was an interviewer asked him, you know, how does it feel to be the greatest living guitar player? And I think the response was something along the lines of, I don't know, go ask Bruce Cockburn.
What? And, who?
Canadian guitarist.
Yeah, no,
but that was, you know, he was like
joking.
That. He really was a very nice guy. He and Alex were, for the most part, both pretty understated. You had David Lee Roth sucking up a lot of oxygen in that band. And even when Sammy was in the band, Sammy was a big personality. So Eddie and Alex, I think, were content, you know, to just lay back a little bit. Very nice guys. The only time I ever saw Eddie really go off, it was during a meet and greet. And you were explicitly told in those, do not shake Eddie's hand. It was before the show. He doesn't want to shake your hand. They don't want to risk his hand getting hurt or anything. One guy actually reached out, grabbed it, and Eddie threw a kick at him. And then the security guards did what the security guards did. But that's the only time I've ever seen him be unpleasant. On the reunion tour with Sammy, which preceded the reunion with Roth, he was a little bit out of it. Sammy, in fact, would not go to the stage until he was told that Eddie was at the stage. I guess they'd had some experiences with walking on stage and, where the F is Eddie.
Yeah, that was
made me do it!
It was sad reading about that in Sammy's book. It just sounded really awful, and he sounded horrified, and, what can you say?
He also had other backstage engagements.
Oh, yeah.
According to that same book.
He had some bad years, and Eddie would be the first one, after he cleaned up to talk about that.
Oh, I mean Sammy, but yeah, you're right.
But, for the most part, I think, just despite those years, he was such an incredible talent. And if you encountered him, a nice enough guy.
When did Alex clean up?
I'm not entirely sure about that. Alex's, whatever his issues were never so pronounced that they got in the way of things. He did. I mean, it was kind of a shock when they came back with David Lee Roth and there's Alex with a neck brace, playing. Clearly had done some damage to himself then.
I think I read, was he trying to jump over a broom that he was holding against the ground? Is that the story? Did you hear that?
I heard that story. I've heard all sorts of things, trying to jump off the drum kit. Not a good idea. At a certain point, those guys lived hard and fast. Especially during the 70s and into the 80s, into their time with Sammy, which would be, into the 90s. They were a rock and roll band.
I'm gonna throw this out there because I just keep getting pounded for saying it, that I liked the, as far as I was concerned, if Roth's leaving the band, I thought Sammy was a good pick, and I liked that period. I saw them live. I thought they were fantastic, but of course everyone said, Sammy sucks.
No one says he sucks. I think it's just that.
No, it's just like you're not allowed to even say you like it.
I think, you have to listen. It's pretty disingenuous for anybody to say that they didn't like the band. The record sales, the concert attendances speak otherwise that. They were just, one was a Red Delicious apple. The other was a Macintosh apple. They were a different cut of the same fruit.
What was Gary Cherone?
Oh, rotten apple.
That would have been the nectarine.
I'm happy to report, by the way, that Gary Cherone has finally tweeted out about the death of
he did tweet.
Eddie, 22 hours ago. Because when we checked yesterday.
I thought he did shortly after.
What did he say?
Whether you were blessed to have known him or not, he was kind and gentle soul. His impact on all, that's in all caps, all our lives is immeasurable. His music, eternal. His deepest sympathies to the Van Halen family. Love you, Ed. Long live King.
Yeah.
At least he didn't make it about himself.
No, yeah. Gary and Eddie got along really well. I mean, Eddie loved writing with Gary. It just, you know, in the end, it didn't take. The fans did not like Gary. And I don't think the other two guys were crazy about Gary as part of the band.
Yeah.
You know what I thought was interesting about the Sammy era, the Roth era, is that Van Halen completely rebuilt. Sammy didn't sing the Roth songs. I mean,
no.
That's incredible when you think about it.
Not at first. Not on that first tour. They did subsequently.
How many original Van Halen songs did they do in the later tours? I remember playing a couple at one show.
Yeah, but maybe they do three, four. During the first tour, if you remember, they did do Jump, but Sammy would pull somebody out of the audience to sing it. he didn't sing the song, which is a nice way of playing the song you had to play that night. You know, without compromising Sammy's integrity.
Yeah, I want to say they played Panama and Jump and something, a couple more maybe when I saw them. It wasn't much.
They had You Really Got Me in the set.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a cover.
Yeah,
that's a cover.
You know, it reminded me when the Beatles split up and McCartney did his tour in 75. He played five Beatles songs, which is like, what? But he was really building that new career. And looking back on it, it doesn't seem so stupid now because he was trying to be Paul McCartney. Yeah. And to be honest, John Lennon, the very few shows he did, he kind of did the same thing.
Right. No, it's a tough line to straddle, you know, for any artist to go out and you have such a strong identity with another band. And then, you know, but you still need to establish yourself on your own and establish your own music, too. You know, you don't want to just go out on the strength of your record sales with your old band.
Considering that they have so much stuff from Chris Cornell, how much do you think is in the 5150 studios of Eddie Van Halen left over, Gary?
There's got to be some stuff. There are certainly outtakes. This will be a great question for Ted Templeman, who was their producer for so long and wrote a really good book that was published earlier this year.
I got
a
get
lot
that.
Of good Van Halen studio stories in it. But yeah, there's got to be outtakes. There's got to be alternate versions of things. I think, you know, more so than songs, there are probably ideas that you find like, oh, here's this riff or here's this piece they were building, but that never got completed. So, and I think that's probably going to be up to Wolfie and maybe Alex to a degree to go in and see what's there.
I was reading that Eddie asked Patti Smyth to head the band when David
joined Van Halen.
Yeah, which I did not know that story. Do you know who else might have been in the running?
Nobody has come out and talked and spoken about that, really, being in consideration for Van Halen. And Patti, of course, Jiz and I had spoken to her earlier this year, and she was remembering that, and you know, her quest, her.
Was that when you were writing the obit?
Come on, Patty.
No, I did not. I've got the goods, but no, it wasn't for an obit yet. But you know, she was remembering that and just saying to him, "Are you nuts?
Could you imagine how the fans would have reacted?"
Hey! Oh man,
and she
would have hated that.
No,
she knew it, and she was a fan, so she wasn't going to go there.
Well, she was pregnant. She was pregnant when he asked too, like 7 months pregnant, so.
Well, there was some bitching today about David Lee Roth's post, which was a picture of him and Eddie. Of course, he's in the picture. What a long, great trip it's been. That doesn't say much about Eddie.
Right.
You know, I'm not looking for profound prose from David Lee Roth. I'm really not. You know, in fact, I'm looking for, dude, remember that time we insert aberrant behavior here. You know, so I think in the case, because the other thing with David Lee Roth is if he decides to go long, be careful what you ask for. You may get it. And we don't need that to happen. I really do think a simple sentiment from David Lee Roth is enough. And I'm sure he's a little peeved at Eddie because Eddie couldn't and didn't want to go back out. You know, as much as David and to a degree Sammy were campaigning for it. I think what we're going to find out is that Eddie wasn't capable of going out on the road with the band anymore.
Wow, it's so sad. Valerie Bertinelli also had a post that I was
that
really...
That was a little interesting.
Yeah, wasn't it? She said, "I'm so grateful Wolfie and I were able to hold you in your final moments. And I will see you in our next life, my love." What?
Whoa.
What does Janie Van Halen have to say about this? Mm. I mean, you know, that was a strange...
That was really
a very strange post.
Did they reunite at the end? Is that possible, sort of, kind of?
anything's
like
possible.
It sounds like it, doesn't it?
He didn't show up on our Food Network show. I don't know. You know, who knows? You know, I kind of doubt it. But yeah, that did seem a little bit over the top.
Well, I'm just thinking that if I was with my better half on their deathbed and their first husband showed up and wanted to hold them as they were dying, I think I would have a problem with that.
I see we are of one mind.
It'd be super awkward, though. I mean, what do you do?
I don't want to find out.
Yeah. Don't you just put that behind you at that moment and then hate the person after?
Well, it's one thing to allow somebody, if somebody's there, you know, sharing it. Because, you know, you have a kid together and by all reports, Eddie and Valerie did well by Wolfie.
Well, then what's the point of the second wife? She might as well just bolt when he's not feeling well. You're not feeling well. You're going to be hugging her at the end anyway. So what the fuck? I'm out.
Later.
Oh. Jesus Christ.
Wow. So that'll be when Wolfie talks. That'll be one of the questions to ask him. What the hell was going on that day?
Does Wolfie have a future?
Yes.
He does.
Yeah. He's got a solo album.
He is making a solo album. Will he be a hit solo artist? I don't know. But anybody who's worked with him, and respectable people, not just his dad, but even Sammy and Mark Tremonti, you know, who worked with him, you know, him for a while in Mark Tremonti's solo band. They all sing his praises as a musician, as a, you know, as an arranger, producer, you know, talent. So I think he has a future in music.
Well, it will be interesting to see. Any final thoughts on Eddie Van Halen, Gary?
I will share this with you because this is kind of the way we roll when we're together. But the closest I ever got to a hole in one on a golf course was during a round with Eddie.
Oh, wow. How about
eight iron on number 16 that just popped out the back of the cup. That would have been a nice memory.
A little too convenient that you tell us now because you can't back up the story.
I have witnesses. Now, two of those witnesses aren't with us anymore.
Oh, my God.
Was that at Oakland?
The one still is. Eddie and their manager at the time, Ed Leffler.
Was that at Oakland Hills?
No, that was out at a course in Rochester, out near Crittenden.
What a charmed life, man.
He did have one, yes.
All right, Gary, thanks so much.
Wait, are you going to ask him about AC/DC?
What about AC/DC?
The new album.
Oh, yeah, he's talking to somebody tomorrow.
Yeah, I've been listening, was listening to it just before you guys called. Or before I
zoomed in. The whole thing that nobody else is getting until the 17th of November.
That's when you get to hear it.
That's quite a long time.
Initial thoughts?
It is. I love it. It's an AC/DC. It's exactly what you think it would be and what you want it would be, it to be.
Cool.
Loud and powerful.
And it's really, really good.
Wow, really?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
No, you know, because the last few records, it always sounds like AC/DC. It's always fine, but I don't feel like they've reached the heights of their salad days. Are you saying that this is something special?
Well, no, I think this is of a piece with those last two records, but I think you feel the way about those last two records only because there was a Highway to Hell and a Back in Black. And maybe for those about to rock. So it's the classic case of you hit the peak. And then even if you're doing something that's very good, and these as well as the last two albums are very good, you know, they're not Back in Black. But what is going to be Back in Black? So okay. I'll take the next level down. And it's still a great AC/DC jam. You'll be playing this one loud. Hmm.
When will we be seeing concerts? I mean, honest to God, I saw
2022.
2022?
Really think so? Yeah. Outside shot at late 2021, but I'm not feeling it for 2021.
Is that where they're scheduling now? Because they just figure, forget 20.
There's a lot on the books for 2021 now that everybody is hoping, but I feel like it's hoping against hope. Certainly the spring shows and the early summer shows.
Yeah, because Elton rescheduled. His is 2022 already.
2022. Yeah. I think you're going to be seeing a lot more of that. If AC/DC schedules a tour 2022, if U2 decides to go out, Metallica, they're all going to be looking at 2022.
Wow. Boy, that's just amazing.
It is. No, it's really horrible been, year been, never end.
We are going to get some drive-in shows around here finally, you know, starting next week out at the the parking lot across from the Crowfoot. Oh, you know, Steel Panther, not a bad way to start things off.
Hell yeah.
Brandon's favorite.
Smith & Myers from... from Switchfoot. Pretty sure it's Switchfoot. I sometimes say Shinedown. Pop Evil's going to do an acoustic show. So we're going to get some stuff. But in terms of, you know, big production concerts, you know, I'm not feeling it for more than a year.
Well, I asked because today I read the Miami Dolphins can host all 65,000 fans in their stadium.
There's Florida.
Now, they're not going. They're going to have 13,000. They say to start with, but I don't know. We'll see.
You know, we may have to put a lot of at least a lot of either testing devices or vaccines down there. That stuff just scares the crap out of me.
Well, I saw LSU is getting rid of any of the management with letting people come in. Like a mask, they're just come in. There's too long of a wait.
You know, come on, reality, people. Yeah. You know, as much as we hate it,
football matters. That's the reality.
Yeah, right. I guess so.
Gary, have a great week.
And yeah, you guys too. Stay safe.
Okay, we'll talk
soon.
Good
seeing you.
Good to talk to you. Good to see you. Thanks for zooming. Okay.
Take care.
All right, cool. I'm gonna try and slide Brandon's little window in here. Slide Gary out.
Oh, look at that move, man! Wow.
I told Brandon I missed not seeing him.
Yeah.
I figured you could have just left anyway.
I think that Valerie Bertinelli thing is just bizarre.
Yeah. Her post?
Bizarre, yes.
Yeah, that's pretty weird.
I feel like it's meant for everyone else because she knows what happened. I would certainly think that you would not want to embarrass someone's current wife.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is weird. It requires some explanation. Oh, okay, so you're back with him at the end? Or did you cut in front of his wife? Or what the fuck happened?
Well, I mean, she could have been.
Am I overblowing this? I think it's really strange.
Well, what is their relationship?
And by
they're
final
divorced.
Hours.
No, I know,
and by final
along?
Hours, what did she say final hours or final moments?
I mean, final moments.
She could have met. I mean, they could have been there in the room and then, you know, been with him
maybe
for a
while.
Maybe
she was Wolfie's ride.
That'd be the best explanation I can hear.
Well, they put out a picture on Instagram a couple months ago. That was when everybody was like, hey, Eddie looks great. And it was the picture of, you know, Valerie, Eddie, and Wolfie. And we made the comments that Eddie liked to marry a woman that looked just like him. And, but we didn't think like, hey, why are they taking pictures together?
I will see you in our next life, my love.
Right.
Well, that's not very respectful of his current wife. I'm just saying. I mean, she's Valerie Bertinelli. She's a famous person. I'm sure, you know.
Did they have a bad relationship, his new wife and her?
I don't think so. Not that I know of. I don't know.
They did have a kid together.
I would think this would not be good for their relationship. No, I understand they have a kid together.
Well, their relationship's done now.
As I asked Gary, though, if you're in a relationship with someone and they're dying and their first husband comes in and wants to hold them as they're dying, I think that's a problem.
Well, maybe the second wife was holding him, too.
Oh, one on one side, one on the other.
Yeah.
And Wolfie's
I mean,
he is
dying.
Yeah, that's. I think that kind of supersedes any fear a living might have at that moment.
I guess my objection is to the post. Couldn't she, you know, enjoy the fact that she did whatever she did?
Is it my love that bothers you? Is it that line?
Well, that would bother me. That would bug me.
Huh. And the fact that she's decided that she's got him in the next life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trudy, am I off my rocker on this?
I don't think you are. I think it's kind of debatable if she was like all over him, like at the very last. I think maybe they were sort of, you know.
I think Jane was out in the hallway crying.
So, Drew, you didn't accept any kind of condolence from Cynthia Lennon because Yoko was the true love?
I don't think Cynthia Lennon was holding John in the hospital while he was dying. I mean, she didn't have time to get there.
I was just going to say that.
Kind of transatlantic.
And I don't think that George Harrison's first wife, as beautiful as she was, I don't think she was holding him as he died. I think Olivia was holding him. Just saying.
Well, who was there when he got stabbed?
I don't know. I can't. Are you guys saying that you think that's normal for the ex-wife to be there holding him as they die? And is this supposed?
I don't think it's necessarily normal, but I think it's because of Wolfie more than anything.
Yes, exactly.
I understand that, but a divorce is a divorce, and a new marriage is a new marriage. And I think most people would not want the ex-wife or ex-husband. If you were dying, and let's say you've been married before, would Julie be okay with your ex-wife coming in because you had a kid with her?
No, probably not. But isn't it about what maybe Eddie you might want? She was a big part of his life.
It is, but okay, that's again, I'll just say this. My primary objection, whatever happened, and it's probably what he wanted. But the post is rude.
Yeah, the post
is fucking rude.
Yeah, it kind of is. A little bit.
Because Eddie's not reading the post. Sorry.
Well, maybe it's from heaven.
Rock and roll heaven after we got done with... Who is he jamming with?
That's going to be the first thing people do when they get to heaven, read their Twitter post about
I'd love to
not walking around seeing all the cool shit around there.
You know, I hope I hear from some people about this, because I really, right away I was like, what? And then I thought, that's really disrespectful.
We're still on Facebook Live before I ended. Ask them what they think.
Okay. Well, they'll just give funny answers or answer drops.
Well, Don said F no. Patty said it's not rude. John says it's different with kids involved. Christian says wrong. I don't know what that's in wrong. Regard to. I guess maybe it's just, maybe the post is just wrong.
Well, maybe I'm just making too much out of it. Yeah, I think the post is my biggest objection.
She will not ever have a relationship with Eddie's widow now. I mean, that's done because Eddie's not around. So what?
I don't know that they didn't get along, honestly. And maybe that his Eddie's wife is fine with it. I don't know. I mean, it just was weird.
Are you saying she's a bigger man than you are?
His wife?
Yeah, for putting it behind.
I don't know how she feels about it. But I would say if she's smart, if she's angry about it, she shouldn't post anything anyway. Because why do you want that shit out there? I don't even understand it, to be honest. I feel like Valerie Bertinelli is showboating.
Well, maybe a victory lap.
Why?
Why
is everything, even the death of Eddie Van Halen, divisive?
Is she in his next life? His next life is going to be with her and not the first wife, or is she going to have both wives?
It depends on who dies first.
Someone needs to explain all this to me.
Whoever dies first gets dibs.
Maybe he'll have that girl that gave him roadhead and then sued him for getting pregnant. Do you know that story?
Why don't she get pregnant if she just did right?
That was his defense, Trudy.
Oh, good one.
Exactly his defense.
Logical.
He admitted it was consensual. So John says even after the divorce, they're tied to each other forever. Ed says it's an abnormally close relationship with the ex.
Should she be the last one with him, though?
John says that post was wrong. Dan says, Drew, you're right on this one. Marie says Valerie knows what their relationship was like. Thumbs up emoji after an ellipses. Cindy says she was telling everyone to enjoy your sloppy seconds. William says, absolutely, Drew. It's weird. Well, I'm not saying it's not weird.
I'll just say this. I think the post is really shitty. I mean, as people are comforting his wife, and people are going to go, hey, what's up with, so Valerie's with him at the end?
I think it's weird posting it. Anything at all, but because
Jamie put her own out too, put her own thing out. Mm-hmm. It's just everybody jumped all over Valerie.
Did she say, I wish I could have held him as he was dying?
She should.
Valerie's fat ass was in there.
I just want to say something. I have no idea if anyone is upset about it. I just looked at it. I didn't read comments or anything. I had no earthly idea what anyone thought. I just thought it was crappy that she posted it and wormed her way in there.
If Wolfie doesn't have a problem with it, meh, you know. Although he might not.
I think his second wife has something to say in this, doesn't she? I mean, unless Eddie hates her. Maybe Eddie hates her. I don't know.
She's busy filing for the insurance.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow. She's going to need any insurance. That'll be interesting to find out where he left the money. Maybe he left all the money to Valerie. I don't know.
Oh, wow. That would be
maybe he had a prenup with the second wife. I mean, who knows? But I do think the post is lousy, unless the ex-wife or the second wife is not really with him. I mean, that's possible, too.
Sure. Hmm. Oh, Patty says it's like Bruce Willis quarantining with Demi instead of his second wife. Oh. That was weird as shit.
That was strange. Yeah. That was very strange.
He just liked being around his two weird daughters, who always go around topless and...
Oh, by the way, these people who who's the latest one I read about? Some celebrity that goes on vacation with their first husband and the kids, and the second wife and husband are just like, "Yeah, see you, have fun." I thought, no, that's weird. That's really weird.
I remember that story. I can't remember who it was though.
Was it Gwyneth Paltrow?
Probably.
Maybe it was Gwyneth Paltrow and
Chris Martin.
Yeah. Mitch says, "I hope he left his money to David Lee Roth." That would be great.
His will probably say a lot about how he felt.
Yeah!
all right, it's fall season, and the team at Zot Ford, or rather Zot, well, the team at Zot Ford is ready for you too, but the team at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is kicking off Jeep Celebration Month. If you love performance and off-road capable vehicles, and Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, as you covered, with the 2020 loaded Jeep Compass as low as $155 a month. They've got the 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk four-wheel drive as low as $249 a month. If you need a truck, go lease a 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4 as low as $188 a month. Pure performance, poured into an SUV that drives like a sports car. That would be the 2020 Dodge Durango GT at just $343 a month. And you know the game. Zot and Jeep Wrangler always are going to end the spot. You want them, Zot's got them. Plus, you still have time to custom order a Wrangler to your perfect specs. Get details, surf their inventory at dealsnd.com. And water's everywhere in your home. Leaky sink, washing machine, behind your fridge, under your dishwasher. Keep an eye out for any water in your home, not just floods. What about mold? What about fire damage, storm damage? That's
water.
Emergency Response Services Incorporated is for. Call 877-JOB-DONE or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com. Just put them on the fridge. 877-JOB-DONE for the call. If you got mold, you got water, you got anywhere. I mean, sometimes it's rolling through the house for a long time.
It's a need.
You have no idea. Hall Financial Hotline, of course, they are, God, I read somebody went from a 4.6 to a 2.6. What the? I wrote them back and said, why did you have a 4.6? I mean, what changed so much you got a 2.6? Anyway, saving. I'm not joking about this. Let me find the email, which I sent to David Hall immediately. It's not that one. It's not that one. Where the hell is this one, man? I thought I just sent it.
I don't know, man.
I don't know, man. I know she's saving a lot of money.
For the money?
I don't know, man. I need to refinance Graceland.
I save a lot of money.
Save a lot of money? Nah, go, cat.
Oh, Graceland
go.
Probably had like a 12% mortgage. I was like, that sounds good.
Just have a seat in the waiting room. I'll be with you in a minute.
And the colonel's taking 7% of it.
I don't want to be disturbed unless it's an emergency.
Okay, wait. I'm going to find this. He's saving $170,000, he says.
What?
Yeah, over the course of the mortgage.
You don't feel very much when you're on the stuff.
How big is this house?
Well, 4.6 to 2.6. Okay, yeah. Here we go. Writing to proclaim how excited I was to use Hall for my current refinance. I was currently 7 years into a 30-year at 4.6%, was able to lock in a 15-year at 2.6. Not only did I save on the monthly payment, it shaved 8 years of payments to boot.
Ah, 15-year, yeah.
Estimated over $170,000. My wife and I are still in shock on the savings. Tom Hill and the Hall team exceeded my expectations with the fast service you bragged about on the show. It is true! I've been a long-time listener and supporter, not only of the old show and Riff, but of the podcast. We'll continue to use all the great sponsors featured on the show. Thank you, John, and congratulations.
Yeah.
Call 248-308-5000 for David Hall Mortgage, or go to davidallmortgage.com/drewandmike, NMLS number 1467435.
Congratulations, everybody.
That's quite amazing, really. Oh, so yeah, I was up watching. I'm kind of tired. It just hit me in the late afternoon. I'm tired. Because I was watching I'll Be Gone in the Dark, this thing about the Golden State Killer. God, what a fuck this guy was.
Somebody's got a case of the sleepies.
Total load.
Over 50 rapes, 10 dead they know of, probably more than 10, though. And it was strange because it sounded like he was responsive to the media, who would say things like, well, he seems to go after women who are at home alone. And he cases these places. He knows where he's going. He knows what the schedules are, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Then he starts going after couples, and he will kill both of them eventually. And, you know, putting the...
After torturing them mentally, yeah, too.
Torturing them, tying them up. He has the wife tie up the guy. He ties up the wife. He tightens the guy up. He goes to the kitchen, gets a bunch of dishes, and puts them on the guy.
Yeah.
And says, if I hear the dishes while I'm fucking your wife in the living room... Ugh. I'm going to come in here. It's kind of a Valerie Bertinelli type of move.
Jesus Christ.
That was just scening in what she did there, officially, wasn't it?
A little bit.
On Eddie? Wow.
Anyway, no, I'm sorry. You shouldn't be laughing. No, anyway, just the most horrible fucking,
yeah,
you know, God. Psychopath. He would put a towel over the TV, which would be on, so there's just enough light for him to see what's going on, I guess, but not enough to see his face. Well, he'd blindfold the women, too. He'd get a beat stop and get a beer and say, I'll be back in 5 minutes. Get a beer, drink a beer, get a little something to eat. I mean, it was just so bizarre. And so at one point, I tell you, it's. I mean, this thing has six parts, so I'm not spoiling it for anybody. I mean, there's just so much.
How many did you watch?
I watched all six.
Oh my gosh,
Brandon, sure you've seen it all too, right, Brandon?
Not all of it. No, I don't think I got past episode three or four, and I stopped, and mainly because I thought you guys weren't watching it. I sent you all those.
Yeah, I know.
I did. I sent you all those links, and I was like, no one likes it, so I guess
aww.
I'll just...
Aww. You know, oh, I'm sorry, Brandon.
I just was stuck up on other stuff I was watching, I guess. Are we on Facebook?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, this guy...
But no, I was fascinated by the story, and I was fascinated by her work ethic. However, one part early on in the series, you have to understand that it's really about Michelle McNamara. It's about the author, you know. I went into
Patton Oswalt's wife.
Yeah. All about the golden, you know, the East Area Rapist, the original Night Stalker, the Golden State Killer, and you really have to kind of get through the Michelle McNamara stuff first before you get into the meat and potatoes of the actual killer.
So he's in prison now, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Did he walk in prison? Is he walking around in prison?
No, he was in a wheelchair.
No, but is he walking around in prison?
Oh, yeah, he was like, count on.
Yeah, remember he got busted because there's video of him doing things in his cell, doesn't need a wheelchair.
I'm sure he does. I'm not even going to check to see.
Out golden.
I heard he's managing the softball team.
He's probably hitting cleanup.
Playing shortstop.
Sliding it. Home base.
Yeah.
Bitch.
It was odd to see that guy, you know, was this horrifying guy. And for the victims, it was strange, but they recognized him. And the toll on the victims was what really was incredible, because they all eventually, at the end, they all got to know each other. And they were so happy to meet. God, women are amazing, aren't they? They were all very happy to meet each other and you know, share stories. And they knew they held this incredibly horrific thing in common. And so it was very helpful to them. And it the way they were impacted for so long, and still to this day, just made me feel like sometimes the judicial system just doesn't take into account the damage done to these people. Like with the child molesters who get out in 3-4 years, it's like that person is going to be, they're going to be victimized by that their entire life. Well, child molesters, I never have any sympathy for child molesters. I just think they should be thrown away or popped off or whatever.
Popped off.
Or cut their dicks off. I mean, honestly, I just have no sympathy for them. Like, you are so miswired, as Mike Clark used to say. If you think that you should be having some kind of sex with a 7-year-old, you are so miswired. I don't ever want to see you again.
Yeah.
I want you out of here. Yep. I mean, drop them in the ocean. Cool. On an island.
Bin Laden them.
Yeah, do something. Yeah, do what ISIS does. Put them in a cage and set it on fire. Good God, I just
so why you look like a pedophile?
Fucking people.
You look more like a pedophile than anyone I've ever seen.
And I don't mean 17-year-olds having sex with 15-year-olds. It's not the same thing. But they told a story in this case where the Golden State Killer had a sister who was younger. She's 7 years old, and in Germany, I you know, it's one of these things where I was like, I really want a forensic accountant on this story, because I just don't know if I, it sounds implausible, but according to her son, she was raped by two military guys. Their father was in the military at one time, in a hangar when she was 7 years old. It's like, wait, two guys got together, two military guys, and said, hey, let's go find a 7-year-old. I mean, that just seems like something one guy would do somewhere, you know.
By himself.
Yeah, it would be incredible grooming process. Two guys. I didn't know if I could even believe that. But
I think that'd be very, very rare.
The main part, they presented it like it was absolute fact.
Oh, well, maybe it was.
And
I'd say it's very unusual.
I thought it was incredibly bizarre. But the Golden State Killer, her older brother, witnessed this.
Oh, really?
He just stood there and watched. Is what the mother had said to her son, apparently. I don't know. I still want a forensic account. But the... God, there's so many things in this thing. And the Michelle McNamara story is a great story, yeah, because she's a person who wants to be a writer, and she's really a follower of true crime. She starts a blog. The blog gets big. She does incredible amounts of homework on the Golden State Killer, and she writes this lengthy piece for LA Magazine,
Chapter
I think it was,
one.
Which people just loved and raved about, and you know, it got sent all over the place, and then she got a book deal out of it. and she was, you know, writing this book, and she got all of the files from one of the police organizations, all an entire room full of files on the Golden State Killer. She got them. They were in her house with Patton Oswalt, and she's going through these one by one. Wow. Thousands and thousands of pages.
She did an article for LA Magazine, so do you suppose he knew that this was happening, that she was investigating him?
The Golden State Killer?
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
I would imagine he did.
Reading it in the Sunday LA Times and going, what?
You know what? I got to kill someone again.
He was in Colorado. So, you know, whether he knew or not, I'm guessing he would. I would think he'd be keeping up with that stuff. But
how unusual is it for a journalist or a writer to get the whole file? That seems a little
incredibly
ludicrous.
In fact, she and her assistant actually ran out with the last files. They were so afraid somebody was going to come in and go, no!
Oh, yeah.
Because this guy who had agreed to it, they thought, oh, this could change really fast. And so they got the hell out of there and got the stuff in her house. And she spent all her time on this. And, you know, she was a really interesting story. And she had, there was a lot of audio of her talking about her depression and, you know, not much on her drug abuse. There were little hints
great sleuth
here and there. But it was, you know, generally a shock to Patton Oswalt and to everyone else. So, you know, that was a terribly sad part. But the weirdest thing in this was the Golden State Killer, before he's done anything, he's in college with his girlfriend, and he does some, she really is crazy about him, but he's doing some odd stuff that she says he just doesn't follow rules, you know, whether it's out hunting, mm-hmm. he hunts in areas he's not supposed to be in, he hunts out of season, you know, just goofy stuff like that. Then she describes a story where he's on his motorcycle and she's riding on the back, and this German Shepherd is chasing the motorcycle.
Oh.
And he slows down and lets it catch up and starts kicking it.
Oh,
and
he what kicks an asshole.
It. I know. He kicks it so hard, she said he just broke the German Shepherd's neck. Killed the dog. Killed the fucking dog. That's when I really got upset watching this. Kidding.
And she broke up with him after that, right?
No, she didn't.
What?
That's
you
what
idiot?
I couldn't believe, Trudy.
She's a monster.
I was yelling at the TV. He's like, you should have dumped him right then. How dare you, the poor dog?
That we all know that's the sign.
Yeah.
Well, that was so fucked up. She's the still with, not only that, she gets engaged to him.
Oh, my God, what an idiot.
So
Jesus.
They're engaged.
Maybe she went in.
They're engaged. And he needs a couple classes to graduate. And he's like, hey, look, I got to cheat on you in this class because I'm not studying. I'm just an asshole. And she's like, no, I don't want you cheating off me. That's bullshit. Why don't you do your own work? And so he really starts putting the pressure on her. I mean, like, really, like, hey, look, you fucking bitch, you owe me. We're engaged. You fucking let me cheat. What do you want me to flunk out? And so
That's a good reason.
She returns the engagement ring.
Oh,
really?
So she's more upset about this than about the dog, apparently.
It involves her.
The system.
Such an
I should be back in school.
Right. Such an act of violence, though, that he commits there, and she sees it and doesn't even care.
Yeah, I think her guard was up, but she just needed that final thing.
I don't ever want to see you again. Yeah. Go away. I'm dating somebody else. I hate you.
Not only is that actual audio from him, but so is this.
I don't take no orders from no woman, by the way.
Exactly. That's him.
I don't listen to women yelling. I tell them to shut up.
She gives him the ring back. And 2 weeks later, he was at the window of her bedroom with a gun in his hand.
What?
And he wakes her up.
That'll get her back.
She goes to the window and he says, we're going to Reno right now. We're getting married. And he's got a gun. He's pointing a gun at her.
Oh, my God.
And she somehow is able to wake her dad up. Hmm. Her dad comes in, he's in the house now, and her dad takes her and puts her in the bathroom and says, lock the door and I will come and get you.
Wow.
And she said 2 hours later, he came and said, okay, go to bed. And the weird thing was, you know, this is the 70s.
Yeah.
He never told her what went on in those 2 hours.
That's weird.
What happened?
And she never asked.
They put some dishes.
May I have your daughter's hand now?
Maybe he boo-fooed the dad. I don't know.
Maybe they went to Reno and got married.
But that was the case with so many of these where victims were like, yeah, the police were, you know, they didn't have a female policeman. I had to sit there. I got nothing on almost. And, you know, and they're like, no, don't put a robe on, you know, because they were trying to get evidence and they kind of knew who it was. And they were sort of obsessed with him and less concerned with the victims. And the victims all sounded like they just never talked about this. It was like, hey, this was the 70s. You didn't talk about stuff like this. And I thought, you know, that's really true.
It's probably embarrassing to an extent, too.
I think, weren't people much more closed up then? I mean, all this wallowing about...
Oh, sure. Now everyone has a voice.
They would tweet about it.
But wasn't there was CSI back then, right? There was forensic science in the 70s, for God's sake.
Like there was, but not like now. I mean,
NCIS with Gibbs.
Now that neighborhood would all have Ring doorbells and they'd be caught on so many cameras. Yeah. And
I mean, it's incredible how much
surveillance now,
how much they got done without these tools back then. I mean, it's really amazing. When you watch some of these old cold case stories and you see what they had to operate with and how they had to travel all over the place to get things and look at things and interview people. And, you know, all of that was, I mean, there was a real, you had to be awfully dogged.
Wasn't part of the problem for the Golden State Killer and catching him was that, wasn't he a former officer? So he knew.
Yeah, he was a cop. Yeah.
He was. Yeah. And what happened was he had been interviewed and Michelle was onto him. She thought there's something about this guy, and there were a few clues, and one of them was that he was let go by the police. And he'd been arrested for shoplifting, and I guess they had actually dug into that and found out he was shoplifting dog repellent and a hammer and something else. Like, dog repellent and a hammer. First of all, why is he shoplifting?
Yeah.
The fuck? But anyway, that was just, it was like, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're fired, and you're never working again. And that was the end of him as a police officer.
Duh.
So then he started working as he worked in a machine shop, I think, late at night.
Yeah.
So the weird thing, going back to the fiance and the father, you know, who ran him off somehow, how we don't know, is that her name was Bonnie. And there were a couple victims who, while he was raping them, he said, I hate you. I hate you, Bonnie.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
What?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Did the person go, my name's not Bonnie, you idiot.
That's right. That's what she was thinking.
That probably would have set him off.
So, nice going, Bonnie.
He left some nice phone messages, too.
Oh, yeah. Those sound weird. I was thinking, is that a tape? And he sped the tape up a little bit because it sounds like a kind of a kid almost.
Ooh, the ominous music makes it worse.
Is it Trans-Siberian Orchestra?
Thank you. Police Department South speaking. Having to catch me, you scary rapist, you dumb fuckers. I'm gonna fuck again tonight. Be careful.
You'll never catch me, you dumb fuckers. It's East Area Rapist.
He had calls too where he said, I'll kill you. You breathe hard and then say, I'll kill you.
So here, this is the first known rape victim received a wrong call from Ray.
Hello? Yes, Ray there? Honey? Is Ray there?
And he called back and raped that person that night, I believe. So there's his second call back.
Yeah, I'll kill you. Maybe he's calling I'll kill you.
El Cacurus!
Like Red's Bar.
El Cacurus! Oh,
yeah. I'll kill you.
Like so alkaline.
This is where he just breathed on the phone for a while.
Hello?
He was caught. I'm very proud to say we caught him.
Why are you breathing so hard?
I'm surprised this lady stayed on the line this long.
Yeah.
Stay on the line. Just hang on. Okay, good. Yeah, okay, I got a trace on
it. I think he tells her he's going to kill her. Ugh. All right, we get it, dude.
He's not even good at it.
What? Who? Ray?
Someone sped up, maybe? Or like a kid?
I don't know. Maybe he's just putting on a voice. I mean, he's so devious. Bitch. What a turd. I'll kill you.
I want to set the world on fire.
Oh, boy.
He's bad.
Well, let's see. Let me mention our friends at Zotford and Holly, DealsNadie.com. We're at it again. They brought back everyone's favorite month, Truck Month. That means now is the best time to look at things like the Ford F-150 or the Big Talk, the new Ford Ranger. Get to Zotford, lease a new 2020 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4 as low as $166 a month. Or see the hottest staff in Oakland County about leasing a new 2020 Ford Ranger Crew Cab XLT 4x4 as low as $188 a month. Plus, Gabar and the gang at Zot still have Ford Fusions, Mustangs, EcoSports, Escapes, Edges, Explorers, all under $200 a month. See all the details and surf their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. Trudy, what's going on with Dr. Roche?
We're evolving at Dr. Roche's office.
All right.
Evolve is the big non-invasive procedure that tightens, tones, and trims. And I'm proud to say that I have an inch less in my waist because of it. It's really tightening things up. And you can get arms for that little flappy thing under your arms. You can have that and your abdomen tightened up in these procedures that take pretty much 45 minutes to an hour, a Jackson,
really,
if you will. And it's also a good time right now. They have all kinds of specials for fall, including saline breast specials for $3,500 and 25% off their CBD products, which are also amazing for aches and pains. And now they're, of course, all produced in the United States. And so you should get a teleconsultation to see which procedure suits you the best. They also have, you know, a special deal on Diva with a free G shot involved. Check it all out at droche.com or call him for that teleconsultation. He does them every single day, talks to people about what they would like to change about themselves, and the outcomes are amazing. So 248-338-1110 is the phone number for Dr. Roche's office, and you'll talk to Tracy or Janine or Jenny. They're all great, and Dr. Roche is there as well. So give him a call.
Did you guys see the guy skateboarding, listening to Fleetwood Mac Dreams, made that song trend?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great song. Anyway, he's drinking juice.
Yeah. Cranberry juice, yeah. Yep.
Ocean spray.
And I guess, is it Ocean Spray?
Yeah, Ocean Spray.
Ocean Spray just gave him a bunch of Ocean Spray for...
And a car.
In the back of his truck.
They gave him a car. Yeah. Trudy, I'm looking at it in the back of his truck. What car did they give him? Because that looks like a... Doesn't it look like a new truck.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see... They just kind of showed him getting into it, so I didn't see from the outside what model it was, but...
He looks pretty geeked.
Oh, yeah, he's super geeked.
Oh, yeah, he's drinking it out of the bottle. By the way... Isn't that guy a little old to be skateboarding?
Is it a skateboard or is it
Tony Hawk skateboard?
You know, the guy's truck broke down.
Yeah,
what is he on there? I mean,
he was on a scooter. Is it a skateboard?
I mean, it's just a skateboard.
I don't know why that became viral. It's just, I guess, because it's pleasant.
It's kind of cool.
Well,
he's been doing
those type of videos for a long time.
Oh, he has.
And this one just got popular.
Old guy skateboard.
And then, you know, of course, a bunch of people jumped on and did the exact same thing, including Mick Fleetwood, who basically did the exact same thing.
What the hell? That's pretty funny. Oh, he's skateboarding, I guess.
It's pretty funny.
I didn't know he did that.
Wow. Well, good for them.
Yeah, that song is apparently getting a new life and getting all kinds of streams.
So is Ocean Spray.
Yeah.
I mean, really, the guy buys him a car. Look at all the free advertising they got from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the least he could do.
I want some Ocean Spray now.
It does sound kind of good, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
God, some grape juice would be awesome.
Grape juice.
I mean, how great, despite the story being great, I don't know. I'm not a huge, I guess I'm an old man now. I'm not a huge fan of TikTok, I guess, just singing and dancing and doing all the voiceovers and stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I spent like an hour one day just looking at TikToks, and then at the end of it going, that was the biggest waste of an hour I've ever done. And I don't know why. It's just all the same. I'm trying to understand this youth.
They actually do have some good how-to videos, a few here and there, like cooking ideas and stuff like that.
The only good TikTok is Claudia Conway. What the fuck?
Claudia Conway, this story is just so irritating because it's a 15-year-old who is talking about things on social media she has no business talking about. I mean, should you be talking about your parents' marriage when you're 15? On TikTok, saying how much they hate each other and what a shitty parents they are, and
they're both
public figures.
I would be hard being her, wouldn't it? Because your mom is on the one hand way to the right, and your dad is on the left. And
her dad is on the right, but he hates Trump, isn't he?
Middle right, yeah.
He's part of the Lincoln Project, or he was.
So yeah, I was thinking he was kind of conservative.
Wouldn't it be kind of tough to be her? Might be. Kind
well,
of a
yeah,
bitch.
It might be kind of tough, but I don't think you need to be broadcasting to the world. I'm not saying she shouldn't be talking to someone, or maybe she doesn't need help, but talking to millions of adults journalists who are taking down her every word.
Oh,
and
she gets praise, man.
Whistleblower.
Do people interview her?
No, they take what she says. She said her mother tested positive for COVID.
Yeah, and then
she said her mother lied about it.
You've caused so much disruption.
Disruption?
You lied about your fucking mother about COVID?
No, Mom.
About COVID?
That's how I interpreted it.
What does that mean?
You're taking me again?
She thought that her mother, what did she say? That her mother lied about... Oh, she said her mother lied to her and said she didn't have COVID.
Yeah.
And she said that's complete bullshit, and she then corrected herself. I don't know why she said that, but, you know, she's 15 and she's really hot, so everybody wants to follow her and watch what she has to say because she says crazy shit about her parents and about Trump.
I'm surprised.
That's how it is
but
now.
But people are actually referring to her as a whistleblower. She does not work in the White House. She knows nothing but what her mother tells her and what she reads.
I'm really surprised she hasn't. They haven't been able to reel in her her activity on TikTok.
I guess they did, but they. What happened was she started using friends' phones.
No, I know, but it's not about. I mean, look, the access is always. She's got to find a way if you want to do it.
Yeah.
But you would think you could be able to sit down and say, "Look, this is the problem with this."
No, they like the clicks, don't they? Like the clicks, isn't that all it is? I mean, in the end,
yeah.
I mean, look at Little Tay. What about Little Tay? You got a 9-year-old saying the N-word?
Little Tay's a little different, I would think.
How is that different?
Because I would think Kellyanne Conway, who's very smart, and George Conway, who are very smart, would have a way to talk to their teenage daughter.
Go back to beating up your mom on Dr. Phil.
About the negative impact of her TikTok. That's all I mean by that.
But as far as the platform, how could Instagram think it's okay for a 9-year-old? To be doing
it's
that.
Not.
I mean, that's
she's
insane.
Your wait. Bitch, you pussy.
It was her brother's.
Who runs Instagram?
Facebook.
Facebook. Yeah. There you go. There's your answer.
It was. I heard that, Brandon. It was her brother's account, right? So he was just videotaping her. Don't find any excuse to get around it. You're not going to be able to stop that aspect.
It's pathetic,
of it.
And hopefully more people are watching The Social Dilemma and seeing how badly, how pathetically we're all being manipulated by social media. Yeah. It is not a friendly place.
No, and outside actors on social media, too.
That was like the biggest thing when I went to college that I thought was so reprehensible, were people being manipulated in college by... You know, at that point, it was like Hare Krishnas or cult-like religions.
Yeah,
I can't imagine how stupid you would feel if you found out afterward that so vehemently believed in was absolutely
Ron Miscavige. He had to look in a full-length mirror.
Yeah.
How about QAnon was banned today?
Good.
Oh. Now, there's about 1,500 accounts related to QAnon they've already banned. There's a zillion more that they have yet to ban that they'll probably try to ban, but this is what just...
Probably too late, but yeah.
Yeah, this is what kills me about these platforms is... Hey, anybody can say anything, but we have no responsibility for what they say.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if they're talking to 1 million people, 10 million people, one person, five people, eight people, 8,000 people. They bear no responsibility, and when they try to fix something, it's like, oh, cat's out of the bag. Too many people saying we hope Trump dies, so sorry, we're doing the best we can.
We'll fix our algorithm.
And then with QAnon, QAnon has been perpetrating this idea that the government and Hollywood and who is getting kids trafficked?
Democrats in Hollywood.
Democrats in Hollywood are trafficking these kids, but they name names.
It's a big pedophile ring.
How in the world?
I think we can all applaud what Jeffrey Epstein did.
I guess I just don't understand the legal system, because I would think you could just sue the people directly who are posting, or you could get to the bottom of it somehow, some way. You could find out who it is you need to sue, because there has to be a name somewhere.
It's freedom of speech, and they're dedicated to protecting it.
Freedom of speech is fine, but if you're calling someone a pedophile to millions of people, that's like ABC News calling you a pedophile, because ABC News only has a few million people watching.
Well,
it's the same thing.
It's getting that way because the traditional media has been so trash that no one will. They're all on the same level now. They think that this is more honest reporting than, say, things that are vetted.
But when people say things, well, the media doesn't do as good a job of vetting because they're competing with the clicks.
No, I know.
So they have to get stuff out there fast, or they have to get it out in some form that's very clickable. But, you know, when you're calling someone a pedophile, I don't understand why there's no legal recourse. It doesn't make any sense to me. And maybe it's just hard to sue an individual on a platform. You can't sue the platform because they're not called a publisher. Mm-hmm. And, you know... And how wonderful for them that they escaped being called a publisher, because they would be responsible for their platform.
Right.
The problem with QAnon, too, is they've had some real-life consequences. You know, like the guy walking into
Shooting up a pizza joint.
Yeah.
I know. It's fucking insane.
There's a Hoover Dam incident from a QAnon.
Wouldn't you think when that pizza joint, somebody came in and fired a weapon, that would have been the end of QAnon?
Yeah, but who do they go after then? Who are they chasing?
But
what specific person?
Yeah.
QAnon is someone.
Well, not only that, someone, but so, like, remember that guy who hated Trump and had his truck, and then didn't he send something to Trump in the mail?
Oh.
The guy down in Florida was really buff. Remember that guy?
Oh, that guy with the van?
Yeah. So do you end whatever organization he's a part of? I mean, do you end all Democrats? Because
he's responsible for himself.
The guy who shot up pizza, the Atomic Pizza, isn't he responsible for himself?
He is responsible for himself. Absolutely he is.
So why would that be the end of QAnon?
Well, first of all, they're calling people pedophiles by name.
Sure.
Who are not pedophiles. So they have millions of followers, and therefore, I don't think it's a whole lot different. Obviously it is, but it's not to me. I mean, in effect, it's not a whole lot different than NBC News coming out and saying, and Steven Spielberg is a pedophile who's molested dozens of kids, and he's part of a ring with... The only difference is when NBC says that, it's different than when QAnon says it, because the QAnon audience wants to believe it.
Yeah.
Well, and they're more inclined to believe it.
NBC has an FCC license to broadcast that can be challenged. QAnon is just on a social media platform, and it's many people, not one.
I think this really does damage him by taking all these accounts down, because look at the reach of Alex Jones once he got banned from all those platforms.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it does create a vacuum, and someone else steps up and fills that. But it really
Where's Alex Jones? Where is he now? I don't even know where he is.
Not just on his own website. And on a bunch of smaller radio stations. But getting booted off Twitter and Facebook really hurt his...
People are cancer! You're
really hurt my brand!
Last seen marching around, where was it? In a parking lot with some people?
No,
a crazy man.
He was mad at the public park because they were making people wear masks.
Oh, that's right.
He said it was a government takeover. Apparently of a public park. Which I would assume...
COVID-19 is a power grab hoax.
Yeah, power grab.
What got him? That was the end of him?
No, that was the most recent thing.
Oh, okay.
That's him trying to re-emerge.
Frankly, when he started saying that these kids that were murdered were child actors, and all those people went after the parents of dead six-year-olds, I would have thought that no one would... I mean, or rather, everyone would do everything they could possibly do to say, fuck you, you're off my platform, you're out of your fucking mind.
I know they staged those terror attacks.
I mean, going after the parents of dead children, really? I mean, people are attacking them, and when the parents fight back, they get attacked even more. I mean, they get trolled to no end. Have you ever read about these people?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, say that one podcast about it, the guy who was fighting back.
Yeah, and I mean, that's his whole life now, basically, is dealing with people who are trolling him about his dead six-year-old.
Even though, Alex Jones has been removed from the platform, they're still going after those people.
But I feel like you don't hear it as much because he's not on those major platforms.
Yeah. How dare you?
Which I'm hoping, maybe that's the hope with QAnon.
And I can tell you, today I got up and I started watching the news, and it's like, I just wish the election were tomorrow. Or I wish I didn't.
We got a great debate tonight. I've already placed two prop bets.
Oh, on what?
Let me look it up because I can't remember. Brandon and I were going over them last night.
I'm glad you said that. I want to do that myself.
I left you a list of the prop bets, Drew, if you're interested. I know one this is really tricky. It's and Brandon helped me, and we thought about this long and hard. It's, will Kamala Harris say the word racist, yes or no? And I think yes was -150. And we were thinking about it. I'm like, I don't think she's going to call Donald Trump racist, but she might say something.
Something is racist.
Policy is racist, or busing was racist. Who knows what it is? But there's so many ways that word can be used.
Oh, she won't say busing is racist.
She can't go back.
She want to bring Joe Biden into this conversation.
Well, I'm just using that as an example. Let's see what the other bet is.
I got to tell you.
Did you see that?
Her over-under on Trump. I took over 5.5. Just the word. She has to say Trump 6 times.
You'll get that one for sure.
That.
I think so too.
Did you see that the Trump campaign put an empty seat in the front row for Tupac Shakur in case he wants to show up since it's Kamala Harris?
They're stealing the Jerry Glanville bit.
Are you serious? They did.
Like, I thought it was just a joke on Twitter, and I just kept passing it, and then I realized, wait, that's from The Hill, and
The Hill's
from the
legit.
New York Post. And okay,
I was just fucking with her.
Is it the hologram of Tupac, possibly? What if he went?
What if he shows up?
What if he went?
That'd be cool. That's what the Dems should respond with. They should create a hologram there.
Or just get a lookalike.
I'm stealing gay Tupac.
That's a great idea. There's got to be a lookalike.
By the way, have you seen the plastic partition that Kamala demanded?
Yes. Yeah.
That's not going to stop any. That's as laughable as the one we were laughing at with Sunday Night Football between Jim Nance and...
Wait, isn't she in a...
No,
they're 12 feet apart.
But the partition's only like 4 feet high anyway. It's just all for looks, and it's horseshit.
Wait, it's not.
Let me show you a picture.
It's not above her head.
I think it's. But they're sitting down. This for some reason this debate is a sit down type debate.
Well, if they're 12 feet apart and there's a plexiglass, what in the world is there to worry about? I mean, isn't 12 feet far enough?
True. Come on. You know what this is? This is the Democrats signaling like. That party and that administration has a lot of COVID going on right now. It's not really about safety.
Yeah, but if you demand plexiglass and you're 12 feet apart, you sound like you're a nut.
But even the plexiglass that's out there, do you have, in any situation where you see plexiglass, does it really look like it's doing that great a job?
Oh, I think at Costco it is because everybody's buying plexiglass at Costco or 7-Eleven, too.
When I go to CVS, there's plexiglass between the person and the clerk. So, I mean, I don't know how they're going to get COVID from me.
Can you see that picture? I'm trying to zoom in on it. Can you see that on the screen over there?
Which one?
Yeah.
The picture right there in the middle. It's just that.
Where?
I can't really show you.
Did anybody see that debate last night?
It's invisible.
Oh, you can see. See it? It's like that little circle there. There's one there, one there.
Oh.
It's ridiculous.
So... Huh. Is that to her side, the side that he's on?
Yeah, she has one that would be right next to her desk between her and Pence, and then he has one also.
So it's like a double layer. I don't understand. First of all, they're 12 feet apart. I don't even understand why they need plexiglass, but what's...
They don't. It's for looks. It's a reminder about, hey, that administration has a bunch of COVID right now. It's a game.
Well, everyone
Drew.
Knows that administration has COVID.
It's a reminder,
I think that
though.
Makes them look like they're insanely paranoid.
Well, that's what the Republicans are saying.
Well, like I said, I wish the election were tomorrow. There's nothing more we can learn. There's nothing. there's nothing to find out. There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing.
See him putting it up.
Yeah, and everything that happens between now and then will be bullshit. It'll just be stupid shit that either somebody says or somebody denies they said or somebody responds to. Like today we had.
It's the election for you.
No more politics.
I had a blast last night watching Trump retreat on his tweets about the stimulus thing.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was really...
That's a great example.
I felt like I was watching that in live, you know, as he was tweeting them out. It's like, I'm going to do this, this. It's like, well, isn't that kind of the point of negotiating that you called off? But now it helped the market today, so good.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Sweet.
He's done that a few times. Where he says something ridiculous, and then he takes it back, and everybody goes, oh, okay.
I feel like people got to him and like, hey, dick, you know, we're trying to do this. It's not going to help you, and you hurt the market.
Well,
it's no good.
Stormy Daniels is clapping her trap today because of the recorded conversation that Melania did not know about, which apparently she's responsible for what she says privately about Stormy Daniels. And Stormy Daniels then gets to say publicly, she gets to respond to it.
What, she mad because they called her a porn hooker?
Porn hooker, porn yeah. Hooker. So she says, ha, 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 although I wasn't paid for sex and therefore technically not a hooker, I'll take that over being what you are any day. You sold your pussy and your soul, and I'm legal.
Whoa.
I like your new tits, by the way.
Whoa.
Post more nudes. Hashtag be best, LOL.
Well, that part's
Melania kind of have new tits? That was the most fascinating thing to me in there.
Speaking of political tits.
Storm, I think that's kind of funny. My girl.
Well, she's annoying. Yeah, your sister?
Yeah, Storm. My sister Storm.
Did you see what was trending earlier about the PSA that Hollywood put out? So a bunch of Hollywood stars put out a PSA about voting.
Oh, and I saw that, and everybody was naked.
And naked ballots. But what most people's attention was on was somebody's very nice tits.
Oh.
Sarah Silverman?
Sarah Silverman's tits look great. And that really is what the internet was. They didn't care about the video. It was more about, holy shit, look how great Sarah Silverman's tits are.
Who doesn't know about this election by now? I mean,
really? It's a little deeper than that. It's about whatever a naked ballot is.
I want to see your tits. Show them to me.
Brandon's pulling it up right now.
I'm trying to right now.
I think you'll be impressed with her breasts.
Haven't we seen her tits before?
Yeah, well, she was nude in Take This Waltz. Great movie, by the way.
Never seen it.
Oh, fabulous movie.
Really?
Well, I don't understand why her tits are going to get better than when I saw them before.
I think she's been working out.
Wait, you don't want to see tits?
I'm naked.
I'm
completely butt-ass naked.
Of course
naked.
I'm going to
look. I'm like naked.
There isn't a man behind me. These are my hands.
Why you want me to be naked?
I know what you're thinking.
Mark Ruffalo!
Put your clothes on.
Ruff's got some fur.
To be honest, I wish I could cover my hands with my boobs, but here we are.
I'm here to talk to you about voting.
Of course, Chelsea Handler's in it.
Ballots could be naked,
and if you don't do exactly what I tell you, your ballot could get thrown out.
This is my ballot. Just got it.
First of all, when your ballot comes, you're supposed to read the instructions.
Read and follow the instructions that come with your ballot.
If they say to use a black pen, use a black pen.
I know that's like literally.
I think these women just want to be naked.
Hopefully,
I don't think they really care.
Dress Cam looks like a baby.
But I have crumb like a can of Pepsi. Is problem?
Number two.
Where are those boobs?
Pennsylvania.
Who's that just...
There are two envelopes you
Naomi
have to
Campbell?
Put
oh,
your
Naomi
ballot in. Otherwise, it's called a naked ballot.
Naked ballots. And you don't want to have one of those.
Number
Chelsea Handler.
Who's that?
Chelsea Handler, who's always nude.
In
Josh Gad, nice tits, by the way.
Don't sit on them. Get those things out.
Shut up, Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo, two available.
I wanted him to look better.
Get it in as soon as you can.
Yeah. I gotta get to my ballot. To the
Tiffany Haddish.
Post office. Let's go. Please vote.
Take your clothes off and vote.
Amy Schumer.
Oh my God. Could they make this? Could they make people hate this anymore?
Well, you're missing the point. Look at you're missing the point is how great Sarah Silverman's boobs are.
I agree.
Huh. I don't know. I feel like you're mad about the politics.
No, not at all. I was enamored.
Brandon.
Amy Schumer came out and I was triggered.
You were triggered by everybody in that video. Even the breasts couldn't save you.
Right. Come on, Drew.
I like Sarah Silverman in there. I like Chris Rock. There's people I like in there. I mean, honestly.
You're triggered by Ruffalo.
Ruffalo. Why is he? Do I always have to be lectured by Mark Ruffalo? Always, 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 always.
I'll submit for you.
I just like that he has better internet than he did on the night of the Emmy Awards.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Did he lecture us that night? He did, didn't he?
Yeah.
What was he lecturing us about?
I'm sure he was lecturing us. I don't know. He's always lecturing us.
Wait, no, there was a really intense... Can you play it? Because now I'm dying to know what he lectured me about.
I don't want to hear it. You really want to hear it?
Yeah, I kind of want to know, just because I just want to know that he was lecturing me, so I don't think that he's lecturing me when he's not.
But now my computer is going to think I really want to find Mark Ruffalo's Emmy Awards speech.
Oh. By the way, it worked today. I was trying to find a story about Lenny Kravitz. I was trying to find Getty images for him. Mm-hmm. And Doug comes up and he's like, I don't need that Lenny Kravitz story. People are so jealous of Lenny. Because he's, you know, he's in Men's Health magazine this month.
Oh.
And he's 56 and he's cut like crazy.
He's in amazing shape.
Tight. Really tight.
You like what you see, huh?
Oh, Mark, I'm so happy for you. Free water for Detroit.
This is where he mentions that he's on Indigenous lands.
Okay, to be with these guys, Paul, and Hugh, and Jeremy, is such an honor. You are such beautiful performers this year and beautiful people. I want to thank HBO. I'm coming to you from ancestral lands of Lenape and Muncie, Native people.
Oh, that's right.
HBO, thank you so much. Academy, thank you so much. And Derek C. in France. Brother, you did something beautiful. You gave me these performances. I couldn't have done it without you. It was a great collaboration. You're my brother and my friend.
Of course, you were part of it.
You gave career-defining performances. You're the best of the best. And I believe that great acting happens between performers in the moment.
Including you.
I can't be up here right now without you being here. And this is as much for you as it is for me. I'm sending it to you.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
My life. The crew, we had the best crew in the world. It was a hard shoot. You carried us every single
can't
day.
Can't just tell these people later?
I know. This is extremely. You know, we can be done with him.
Oh, you
know
I thought there was more.
I forgot
of a
he was on Native American.
Isn't there more of a lecture coming after.
I think you're right. Yeah, let's wait for the lecture.
After he thanks a bunch of people that no one knows.
How do they play people off in this Zoom Emmy?
They should have just kicked him out.
I'm going to pretend I'm a millennial and that I want the lecture. Where do you leave off?
I don't want lectures. I'm a millennial.
Go ahead, Ray.
I love you. Our story was about a man. It's about family. It's about a man who's fighting for his brother who's living with mental illness. It's a story that's common throughout so much of the United States and the world today. And it asks a big question. How are we going to deal and honor and take care of each other and our most vulnerable people? And we do that with love. And we do that with compassion, and we do that by fighting for them. And
really? I don't think anybody knows to do that.
We have to come together with love for each other.
Here we go.
And if you have
it's so simple. Just listen to Mark Ruffalo.
Who are less fortunate and more vulnerable. And that's what's great about America.
Stop yelling at me.
Our diversity. And one thing I've learned in my family, from my wife, Sunny, and my son, Gene, and Bella, and Odette,
boring.
Is that we are stronger Nobody together when we love each other and we respect each other's diversity.
Oh, that sounds like a family.
And so we have a big, important moment ahead of us. Are we going to be a country of division, hatred, and a country only for a certain kind of people?
Oh, it's as simple as one vote?
Or are we going to be one of love and strength?
I vote for love and strength.
All of us.
Okay, so if I vote for the right person, then there will be none of that bad stuff will happen again?
I like Jeremy Irons because he didn't show up for it.
Hey, this reminds me, I got an email.
I'm not sure I believe that that you can simply cast a vote and you either get love and compassion or you get divisiveness and hate. I don't think it's going to be that simple.
Do you want to hear the email I got from Matt Farley?
What's going on with Matt?
Hi, Mark. I just wanted to let you know I'm taking a break from custom songs for a while.
Oh, what? No.
After writing more than 2,000 of them,
wow.
I've hit my limit.
Oh, he's burned out.
I know you guys mention it on the show from time to time, so I just figured I'd let you know. Now I'll have some more time for important work, like singing more name poop songs, which have been very popular on TikTok lately.
Wow.
Here's your poop song, and I haven't clicked on it yet. Should I click on it?
Yeah, I guess so.
It's very exciting. Let's see. Oh, he spelled it with a C.
Poop. Poop. Mark.
Yeah.
Poop. Poop, Mark. Mark, poop. Mark, poop, Mark.
I feel like I want more lyrics.
Poop, 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 Mark, poop. Mark.
nice.
I just jumped ahead to see if it changes.
Mark, poop. Mark, 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 Mark. Poop, poop, poop.
To play for the
How
girls.
Long is that song, by the way?
A minute 40.
It's poop.
Okay. Here's the deal in Royal Oak. They're giving away $1,000 to 5 different people, and if you can just get a photo on your Instagram feed, or maybe use someone else's Instagram and say, hey, let's do this. Let's win $1,000. Get a photo to your Instagram feed of your favorite spot in downtown Royal Oak. Just take a picture in front or whatever. Tag at @downtown_Royal Oak and use the hashtag MIDowntownDay. That's MIDowntownDay. 5 winners will be selected at random. We get $1,000 in downtown dollars to use at participating local businesses. This is through October 11th at 11:59. So it's starting to wrap up here. And head to Downtown Royal Oak's Instagram page and follow along. Or if you need instructions, you can click. There's a link on our site, too. And your $20 certificates, your Royal Oak bucks. They're probably informing you when you're getting within 10 days or so of expiration. So think about that. I know a lot of people are spending money in the last few days. Yeah, that's great. All right.
I do have a boner line today if you'd like to.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah. Didn't I already put out 3 or 4 this week?
No.
I don't think we've had one for like 10 days.
That's a bullshit lie.
I know.
I don't think we've had one this week.
What? I thought there was 3 or 4. Anyway, here's one. You want to hear it?
Yeah, okay. This would be the first one of the week,
Such
though.
Such a liar.
I'll just check my records.
Those are my farts, by the way. I thought I had a third one in me, but I guess I don't.
Gross!
I have a local brush with celebrity story. Several years ago, I stopped in the high school football game, and I walk up next to the track, and all of a sudden this guy starts talking to me, and thinking, I know that voice. And sure enough, it's Eli Zaret standing there talking to me about the game, sports in general.
I love watching women's golf.
Coolest guy. Didn't have an attitude. I was very impressed.
Get your freaking finger out of my asshole, buddy.
Listening to the Bobbitt interview, his, kind of gave me a little tinge of John Wayne Gacy audio separated at birth.
Does fucking Bobbitt sound like fucking Gacy a little bit?
1 hour, 23-minute, 57-second mark. You guys were interviewing John Wayne Bobbitt, audio separated at birth, with John Wayne Gacy.
Whoa. She basically raped me.
What?
And it was my birthday party. We had a party there, and she, girls coming on to me and stuff. And then he started coming on to me.
Hey, I got an audio separated at birth between the Colonel Sanders and Walter the Booth announcer.
Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from.
I wish I was his booth announcer.
Hey, useless Corey Lytle trivia. That last game pitched was game 4 in the wild card round against the Tigers. And that was a game when Kenny Rogers got in trouble for dumping champagne on a state trooper's head.
The Chris Watts documentary on Netflix is so disturbing.
Yeah.
I had to take a break from it, which I'm on right now.
I wish I'd never met him.
It's really sickening, and it's really hard to watch.
Oh, that highlight, though.
Hey, I just gotta say that Brandon has the best taste in movies out of the entire fucking podcast.
I agree.
You got Mark over there watching Hamilton bullshit every goddamn night.
Soft.
You got Drew watching true crime.
Southern Fried Homicide.
Brandon, impeccable taste in movies, my friend. Nick Cage, great actor. You got Ice-T, great movie with the Busey man.
Like most of America, I think I know the movie business.
I had a fucking roommate in college. In the dorms, and he would get hammered. I don't know if he had like a bad breakup in high school, my freshman year, but he would play Night Swimming by REM, like get hammered and just blasted over and over and over.
Night Swimming deserves a quiet night.
I hate you guys. Sitting here trying to listen to some kick-ass guitar in memoriam to my greatest guitar hero, Edward Van Halen. And you guys have to play that fucking Backstreet Boys song. And now I can't get it out of my head.
All right!
How in the hell can you say that Sammy is not as good as Dave when Van Halen was just a fucking cover band with David Lee Roth? Look at their first 3 albums. Cover song, cover song, cover song. They were the Nandy of the 70s.
Hello, you guys. I love you. I love listening to you. But you guys using that to out things, it's driving me insane. It's why I don't listen to other radio and TV. I can't watch TV because all the in it. So please find another way to use the I don't know, you play a little tune or something, but the sucks. That's it. That's all I got for you today. Thanks.
Beep, 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 back it up, you know what I'm saying?
And I will admit that last week there were a lot of bleeps because things that went over the air that we weren't supposed to say. We said a lot of names when people came in for their blushes with celebrity. So,
wow,
it wasn't that. Was it really
like
that
one guy?
Hey,
there was something else you guys had asked me to bleep. So,
the night swimming reminds me. Have you on Netflix seen Song Exploder? It's only got 4 episodes, and there's only one that I think would have been interesting, and it's the one on REM. Has anyone seen that?
No.
So it is honestly the most pretentious show about music I've ever seen.
Really?
Where this, I don't even know who this nerdlinger is, but he sits down with all of REM to talk about Losing My Religion and how they made that song. And oh my God, it's really fascinating, but it's also so annoying. I don't think there's anybody deeper on this planet than what's the lead singer's name? Stipe. Yeah,
he's pretty
I'm surprised
deep.
You haven't seen it, Drew.
Yeah, you're all things
I don't
REM.
Understand what it's... No, I'm not all things REM, but I like REM a lot, especially the early albums, before everybody liked them.
Well, and that's kind
I liked them when they were cool.
And that's kind of the point of them choosing this song, because it was such a departure for them.
What is the point of the Netflix show?
Mark's point is that Michael Stipe is so arrogant, did you say? Or
well, I think the whole show is very pretentious.
Pretentious, yes.
They take one song and they break down, like, you know, where it came from. You know, they break down the bass line. They play parts of the demo.
How long does this take?
20 minutes. It's a 20-minute show.
Didn't VH1 do this like a million years ago?
I don't know. Did they?
The classic albums thing where they were at the faders and they bring up the, you know, hey, listen to that bass line.
Well, that's really? kind of what
it's a lead guitar. Oh, my God, listen to the backing vocals. And they'll just play the backing vocals.
I'd watch that movie.
Oh, they've done it for, you know, Rumors, for Ozzy, for all these classic albums. They have classic albums. I'm sure somebody must have seen those.
I want to see that movie. I want to see that.
Is this like Quibi for rock and roll, Mark?
Well, it's kind of sounds like it.
It's got 4 episodes. One has Ty Dolla $ign on it, which who cares? Another's Lin-Manuel Miranda.
oh, God.
There's an Alicia Keys song, of course. Oh,
of course.
I didn't bother watching those three, but I did watch the Losing My Religion.
It's the Grammys.
Losing My Religion.
It's kind of fun to see how like awkward Michael Stipe is listening back to just the vocals of that. Like, he hates listening to it. Mm. That part's kind of fun. I don't know. It's an interesting show, but my God, is he so deep.
Yeah, he's always been so deep. Yeah.
He did admit in here that he loves being famous, which you don't really always hear that from stars.
Yeah, I would not expect him to say that.
If he loves being famous, why doesn't he get REM back together?
Well, here's only 3 guys that would play, but music.
That's what I'm doing.
This is his writing process.
It takes me to some place. I don't know what but it's meditative. I don't remember having to write Losing My Religion, and so that's a good sign. That indicates that it just kind of flew out of me.
Did you talk about what the meaning of the song was?
No, you know, we never did that.
This is the bass. I can't remember his name.
But I think.
Is that Mike Mills?
Yeah, but I'm not gonna. Because I have a real strong feeling about what I think it's about, but it's not my job to say that.
I remember Every Breath You Take by The Police, and I thought that was the most beautiful, kind of creepy song.
He's an interesting guy. He drives me a little nuts, but I don't know.
I really haven't heard him interviewed that much, and when I do, you do it quickly, notice how deep he is.
Oh. If the object of the affection is even aware of this person, or the stalker, or what's the story? I wanted to do the same thing.
Ooh,
but I flipped it and made it about the vulnerability. And I created a character that's calling out to someone, and we don't know if that someone even knows.
I no longer have any
exists.
Idea what song he's even talking about.
Oh my God.
Losing My Religion.
He's so deep.
Which is a great song.
It's a great song. I don't know. I like the song.
One of the most overplayed songs in history, but it's a great song.
I'm trying to remember. Did Riff would not play that song?
No, but MTV played it.
Oh, yeah. All. No. I agree. Time. But, like, Wheels doesn't play that song, do they?
No.
Do they play any REM?
End of the World?
That's it?
Really?
6 o'clock TV hour? So.
Yeah.
God, that's a great band.
It is.
They were. I guess
I'm glad
they,
we play that.
They all hate shiny, happy people.
What's wrong with Orange Crush? Or
that's a good song.
I'm not the program director.
I know. I understand, Trudy. Seriously, I could pick probably... I'm sure I'd pick songs nobody want
to
hear.
I would love you to pick
songs. Radio Free Europe. Let's
do a show.
All Sammy Van Halen.
No, I would not pick all Sammy Van Halen. Seriously, what could Eddie Van Halen have done in 1985 that was better than Sammy?
No,
it's the number one album straight through. They sold almost 10 million copies of the first one.
That's not the argument. I hate that.
What's the argument?
The argument is which
argument
is better.
Does he blow David Lee Roth to get him to stay another 10 years? Because he wasn't going to stay.
I think that you feel that Sammy Hagar is better than David Lee Roth for Van Halen.
I don't think he's better than David Lee Roth.
Oh,
I don't.
Okay, well, that's the argument.
No, not my argument. The argument was I don't understand why people have to say that Sammy sucks and David Lee is great because I think they're both excellent with Van Halen. It's hard when you're the second guy in to, I mean, all the love that band had for the first five albums, he was in a tough spot. I think for Eddie Van Halen to have, look at Jimmy Page after Led Zeppelin. What did Jimmy Page do? Nothing. The Honey Drippers, two shitty Honey Dripper
firm.
Albums.
No, firm, that was Robert Plant.
Oh, the firm. Yeah. The Honey Drippers are Robert Plant.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of people that went to see the firm.
No,
I don't remember 20,000 people going to see the firm.
They were a super group.
There was an argument on text this morning between Drew and Carl really started it from Worthy's podcast, and it got to the point where Drew said he was never talking to either one of us again.
I don't think I am.
tell you why.
It's not, because you guys want to argue. Why did the David Lee Roth lovers want to argue about it?
No.
I mean, it seems to me, when I went to see Van Hagar.
It's a fun argument.
Didn't people that like David Lee Roth go to those shows? They go, yeah. Oh, God, I can't stand him now. Because Eddie Van Halen is the incredible thing in that band.
Yeah, no, you can love both of them.
And if Jimmy Page had found a Sammy Hagar or someone, you know, who could have kept him being relevant for another 10 years, I feel like Jimmy Page was done in 1980.
True.
I mean, seriously, except for Live Aid.
We got back. He did that thing with Jack White, though. He kind of became a session musician all over again.
He did the thing with the Black Crowes, but they're just kind of hit or miss every 5 years or so. He finds something
cool. Daddy.
Oh, yeah. This is great.
But
true, I think
to have
think
a working band that's selling out major markets every night is not bad for Eddie Van Halen.
Oh, it was awesome.
He couldn't play with Roth. Roth was his own guy now. Roth left the band.
What do you think?
Under the impression, Drew, that you loved Sammy more. Yeah.
I like Sammy, but I like David. I like David Roth. I don't think he's a goof. I think he's a total goof. But he was perfect for Van Halen.
Which songs do you prefer? Which ones would you rather jam to?
That's the question.
I would find,
answer the question.
I can find songs from both eras that I like. I mean, I don't think I would choose one necessarily over the other, but I'm not the biggest Van Halen fan in the world. It's just that I thought Sammy was fine. I thought he did a good job, and I thought for Eddie Van Halen to stay in a band that's putting out number one album after number one album was pretty fucking good. I mean, how many guys find, when your lead singer leaves, how many bands have a second act? Usually it's fucking over. Yeah. See ya.
Brian Johnson and AC/DC.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the rare case.
Ronnie James Dio with Sabbath. Yeah. What about Phil Collins and Genesis? Huh?
What about Chicago?
Phil Collins was already in Genesis. He didn't have to be.
You could name plenty of bands where the lead singer left and it was over.
What about Kevin Cronin, REO Speedwagon? He wasn't the original.
What about Journey?
Kevin Cronin was always the singer. Right.
What about Journey?
In Chicago.
But Journey, how much new material has Journey done without Stephen Perry? I think until he plays all the Stephen Perry songs with that guy from the Philippines singing.
Ardell. Nova Times.
What?
Nova Express.
If you think about it, though, who else could have stepped into the shoes, though? I mean, and Gary Schroen is not allowed to be in this argument.
Choice. He was the perfect choice.
Was he? I mean, Sammy, isn't there anybody else who could have stepped up as the front man of that band?
I really believe the way people describe it, because people get so pissed at me. I'm like, what the fuck? This is like the John versus Paul thing. They both were great. I mean, you can like one more than the other, but to say one has to be, you have to pick one or the other. And people go, oh, I pick George.
No, I think that's why you
stopped. They were a great band. They were great together.
Wait, I think that's why Drew stopped talking to Carl and myself this morning. Because you wrote, I'm trying to find it. You wrote, Something along the line. Oh, you wrote, I used to hear people argue John versus Paul, and I felt it was equally ridiculous, which it is. But then someone replied in there, really? There's no argument. Paul's way cuter. That's the reason I'm never talking to either one of you again.
Well, you guys have to devolve into an argument about gayness.
Well, that wasn't gay. The people, the girls didn't argue about who was cuter.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Paul's way cuter.
I was cuter.
I will admit, I was laughing after I said that.
When there were trading cards, like Beatles trading cards, everybody wanted the Paul McCartney.
Actually, in the early days, it seemed like Ringo was, people loved Ringo, too. Yeah. I mean, when they first came out. I'm going back to my sister's era.
Oh, okay. My Illinois, maybe. Not so much in Ohio, but Ohio is bent anyway.
I mean, it's not like girls didn't love all of them. But anyway, the point was, what was Eddie Van Halen to do in 1985? What could he have done so much better?
He did the perfect thing, really.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why it becomes as Dave versus Sammy. It's like they're two different people. Roth doesn't want to be in the band, so he's really not. I mean, I don't even know why he's in the argument.
It's just supposed to be a fun argument because they are really the same band with two different sounds.
I mean, it seems to me you need a singer who can keep Eddie going. That's what the way sure. I look at it.
Sure.
And
the third time
and
didn't
work. Maybe people just hate all those. People just hate all those Sammy Hagar songs. But it sure didn't seem like it because the shows were selling out and the albums were selling well. In fact, I look at the album sales today.
I think Brandon hit the nail on the head. It's like when you go to listen to Van Halen, which one do you listen to?
Oh, for me, it's David Lee Roth all day long.
I don't think
there's a single Sammy song that I really love.
Oh,
I mean,
come on, there's good Sammy.
Best
songs.
Of Both Worlds is good. I mean, that I really love. I mean, the one that's going to show up on like a movie soundtrack or it's going to be in Guitar Hero or something. That's all going to be David Lee Roth.
You don't like Black and Blue, the one we played yesterday?
Human Beings never shows up on any of these Van Halen things.
You know, like Pound Cake? That's not a bad song. Yeah,
it's a great song. Run Around's
great.
I mean, Right Now was always playing, and I never liked Right Now. I just thought it wasn't
a rockin'
song. A
lot of people did like
song.
Right Now, though. I mean, it's not like nobody liked it.
How about When It's Love? Do you like that one?
To tell you the truth, I Can't Drive 55, to me, is better than any Van Halen or Sammy song.
Whoa, that's a power. That's a hot take.
Okay, here are the numbers.
That almost deserves a Twitter poll, Brandon.
Van Halen, 1978, sold 14.8 million, which is a pretty incredible debut. Mm-hmm. Van Halen 2 sold 7.7 million. Women and Children First sold 5.6 million. Fair Warning sold 3.9 million. And, you know, I remember reading the manager's book, and he pretty much implied that he thought every album was losing steam at that point. And then Diver Down sold 5.9 million, and 1984 was a big, I mean, that was a huge album, biggest album of all, 16.2 million. But a lot of people bitched about Jump.
I'm not a fan of Jump.
They did not like Eddie playing keyboards, but I mean, it's a big seller. I mean, that's what happens sometimes when you move to the middle a little bit. So Sammy's first album was 5150, sold 9.4 million. I mean, that's almost diamond. There's not that many albums sell 10 million copies.
And I'll listen just to Eddie in this song.
OU812 sold 6.3 million. For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge, 5.2 million. And Balance, 5.7 million. I'm surprised Balance sold that many. That sold more than... What? I cannot believe Balance sold more than For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge, but it did.
Really?
Yeah. And then Best Of Volume 1 sold 7.6 million. Then, of course, there's Van Halen 3, which sold 1.6 million.
Yeah, oh, that was the Sharon one, right?
Oh, boy. Yeah. Wow. What a flop. See, I mean, he could have picked a guy like Sharon in 85.
On the text, Carl was really defending a different kind of truth. You know, defending Eddie on that album. Because not too many people know that album. You know, came out in, what, 2012. So I was listening to it.
Isn't that the one with Tattoo?
Yeah, the one with Tattoo.
That album, by the way, is mostly leftover stuff from the 80s.
What's funny about it, have you re-listened to it lately?
I did listen to it a little bit this morning.
I don't know what it is, but Dave's lyrics don't seem to work in 2012 the way they did in, say, 1980.
No, but some of
like
them
Chinatown,
just sound ridiculous.
Eddie is great on this song. But the lyrics are so
Eddie is always great. Eddie is the band.
Well,
Eddie's
amazing.
The star. I think that's my point.
But the lyrics of this song are pretty stupid.
Listen to him.
Listen to Alex.
She's the one is on this album, too, which is phenomenal. I don't know. David just sounds weird, doesn't he?
Honestly,
it's Chinatown.
I might listen to a couple tracks tonight because I'm really on. With Eddie going, it was like I don't know why it was such a. It shocked me. It's like, yeah. Wait, he's sick. Why are you shocked? It's still just like when you said Eddie Van Halen's dead. It's like, what?
I know.
I was so bummed.
I felt like I was punched in the stomach.
Dying to know the other obits Gary has in the can.
Oh, yeah, right. It's got to be one for Ozzy. I bet there's an Ian Hunter in there. He's 80. But he did tour last year.
Yeah.
He's got to have a Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, Roger Daltrey, Pete Townsend. I mean, they're all in their 70s. Yeah. There's gonna. I mean, we think the last couple of years have been bad. Wait about 3 or 4 years. Holy fuck.
Elton John.
He's got a huge one for Elton John. Yeah.
But honestly, the best thing I liked about the 2012 thing was the acoustic version they did of, was it Panama? Yeah, it was Panama.
Oh.
That was the best thing I liked. The new stuff, it was leftovers.
The point is it's better than I think people gave it credit for, maybe.
Yeah, I rarely hear people even talk about that record.
That song was...
And that was... You know, for all the David Roth people, why didn't you like that album?
you don't like Roth solo stuff.
I don't.
What?
I don't. Just a Gigolo.
Oh, that's great. It's also.
I would be ashamed. I bet Van Halen rused the day they heard that song. Plus, California Girls, give me a break, really?
How about Just Like Paradise, great video.
I mean, you're bitching that they don't rock enough with Sammy Hagar. Those songs don't rock at all. That's a Beach Boys cover.
Here's my favorite bands. AC/DC, Van Halen, not Van Hagar.
No.
This video.
In his defense, this was a big hit.
Because of the video.
Well, it's a poppy song. It's easy to sing along with. Sometimes it'll make it a hit.
So...
I don't know. I saw Roth. We saw Roth in Roseville at the Ritz.
Yep.
With 2,000 people, as opposed to the 20,000 I saw Van Halen or Van Hagar.
Did he have a band with him at that show?
Yeah, he had a band.
Did he have Steve Stevens, the guitarist? Amazing.
I don't remember. I liked the show. I mean, honestly, I like Roth, and he played some Van Halen songs, and they played them pretty well. I mean, they did.
You got to admit, this is a good solo. I'm serious. This one.
What song is this?
Inky Rose.
Yeah, we played this at AAF, I think. Does Wheels play this?
Yeah.
They do?
Yeah. Good.
Really? I'm surprised.
Sure.
It's just hard. I mean, it's
hard. Did Riff play this song?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like regular rotation oldie?
I remember.
I just don't remember Riff playing solo David Roth.
Well, when you have so much... You know, Van Halen with them.
It's also on the Grand Theft Auto Vice City soundtrack.
Oh, that makes a difference. No, that was huge, though, for a lot of rock songs. Those two guitar, what is it? Grand Theft Auto, Guitar
Hero,
Hero. Oh, Guitar and Hero, what was the other game, the Microsoft version? The same one, Guitar Hero, and I don't know.
Rock Band.
Right.
Rock Band.
That brought back a lot of classic rock that had sort of been deep-sixed.
Yeah.
A lot of it came back.
Oh, that was a big bonus to a lot of classic rock bands because those songs...
Except Joel Zumaya.
That's right. What a joke.
Those songs became popular with, people.
A different demographic, yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
No, it was a big bonus for them. So did you hear about Howard Stern?
Yeah. Wow.
Maybe you have a deal with Sirius. Another deal with Sirius. or $120 million a year. And he's got to pay Gary $40,000. He's got to pay Robin $85,000. He's got to pay Fred $60,000. And no, I'm kidding. I mean, I know those people make money, but...
Are you serious?
$120 million? Jesus Christ. Although Sirius costs $250 a year, so...
Are you serious?
You know,
wait, if how much does Sirius cost?
It's over $200 a year.
To order Sirius?
Yeah.
Really?
How much did you have to haggle to get it to that point?
I think I haggled it lower now that I think about it. I think it was like $204, or maybe it was a little less than that.
You keep sending me things in the mail to sign up for like $5 for 12 months.
That's because you're not on there. Now, I'm going to call him up, and bring the offer over, please. I'm going to call him up and say, hey, you fuckers, I've been with you all this fucking time. You don't ask me if I'll do it for $5 a month.
No, that argument doesn't work. You have to quit.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe
I will quit for a couple days.
For a month.
I'm going to have to as well because I crashed my truck.
So, how's that going?
Well, the last 2 months I've been paying for Sirius.
Dude, why?
Are you serious?
Yes.
I've done that.
I'm just not smart. I tried calling, and they said, due to COVID, leave a message and we'll call you back. We left a message. They never called back. So I tried to call again. They said, due to COVID, we have nobody available.
Oh, and those bitches.
Then I called early on a Saturday, and they said, due to COVID, we're closed on Saturdays. And so I was like, what the fuck?
Wow, that's awful. But you know what? I used to cancel... I had one on my car that I had turned in, so they were still running Sirius on the car that was somebody else was driving.
That always pisses me off.
And then I tried to cancel it, and of course it takes 7 hours to get to anybody, and then they're like, are you in an open space? Are there any trees above you? Because we can't do anything unless the satellite can see you.
Oh, Jesus. It's kind of a scam because they get all these new signups, which is just people buying new cars.
Right.
Well, but, I mean, that's a deal they have with the... I mean, they have a lot of subscribers. I just don't know how many subscribers they have without Howard Stern. Howard Stern brings them millions.
That'd be the end of them.
Yeah.
End of them.
Yeah, sure. So he's got that over the barrel. I just wondered, though, if Howard can essentially charge $200 a year for each listener, what if he did a fucking podcast? I mean, why wouldn't people pay... $50 a year.
He still looks down on them.
Without all the... Well, he can look down on it all he wants, but the beauty of a podcast, you can hear the whole thing.
I mean, wouldn't he be bigger than Rogan, do you think?
Well, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe he's worried about that. I don't know. I mean, it's a good deal.
He made a leap before, and look how it's worked out for him. I mean, that was a leap to go to Sirius.
I seriously believe that if he did a podcast, if he can make $120 million for Sirius... I don't know why he can't make that doing it from his house, doing a podcast. I really
well,
don't.
Now he's doing Sirius from his house, so he's all set either
he
way.
Is. That's
he's
got true.
The whole,
but
they probably do a lot of things for him, like sell ads and deal with engineering.
Well, Scott the engineer come too.
No, I know, but
he would not have to deal with all that. He wouldn't have to deal with that. Are you kidding me?
But he'd still have to be in charge of all that, wouldn't he? Wouldn't he have to hire
someone? He could hire somebody,
I suppose.
Easily. I mean, he's not small potatoes. It's just that there's so much overhead that, Sirius has to pay for all those other stations that nobody fucking listens to.
Hey, Maz listens to 60s on the 6.
I listen to a few stations. I mean, I like having Sirius, but honestly, if Howard's not on there, I think they lose so many people.
Oh, yeah.
So that's probably, and their stock was up yesterday.
Maz just retweeted Long Live the Silverdome.
What?
In response to, on this day in 1975, Lions play their first regular season game at Pontiac Metropolitan Stadium.
Should we call him out in the tweet right now? Dial him up. Did he just tweet it?
Well, let me see. Let's see what else.
5 hours ago.
Did you know he has a pinned tweet, which is a in memoriam to Tom Seaver? That's his pinned tweet. Why is that his pinned tweet?
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Man, it's so interesting.
How long will it be pinned there?
Well, it's been pinned there since September 3rd.
Until there's something else to pin, yeah, until somebody else dies.
Do we ever find out if A-Rod would get his concession stand if he bought the Mets?
He also replied.
Or would he retain his Yankees stand, concession stand?
He replied to Channel 4's tweet about the Wings and who they drafted, and Tom wrote, "Keep on building, Stevie Y."
So Lucas that's cool. He's talking to Stevie Y.
I guess, yeah. See, he also wrote, drafting long snappers, running backs in the second round that hardly play, giving quality players away, trading trying out kickers. Ponderous, man. Just fucking ponderous.
Ponderous.
You're fired.
Hey, Maz tweeted that?
Yeah.
That's a good tweet. Yeah. Thank you, Maz.
Some of his replies are legit. Yeah. Good.
I'm just glad. Look at the fresh guests he's getting on there. Dan Dickerson, Dave Burkett.
Next.
You're such a dick. You're such a dick.
Oh, I've ribbed him about that his face.
I know.
I don't give a damn.
He laughs too.
I'll fuck you up.
I love how he's still doing, getting all the show together in the last half an hour. That show's got to be fresh because he really doesn't deal with it until the morning of. And he gets the people. What can I say?
Wow. That is amazing.
What can I say?
He replied to Old Time Football that had a highlight of an Eagles-Giants game, and he just wrote, "What a classic!"
What game was it?
But it's so good.
It was Bills-Jets. There was a fight on the field. I don't know.
Was that a classic?
I'm going to like it because no one else has.
Was that when the Jets rallied back on Monday Night Football, or was that was the Dolphins?
I don't know. I don't fall into the rabbit
hole. Wayne Krabet.
Remember that little guy?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what it is? It's he was giving him the business call. Remember the ref that said he was on there giving him the business? You don't remember that?
I don't know if that's a classic.
Oh, that one is.
99 of the defense. After he tackled the quarterback, he's giving them business down there at the 15-yard penalty.
You can't give somebody the business? Since when?
This is the signal for giving the business to.
Ridiculous.
Tom's replies, I don't know, they're not that bad lately. So,
well, did he tweet out about the Seattle Storm winning the WNBA?
No. Did you watch the GMA coverage?
I did. That was extensive coverage. Really good. I mean, of all the stories that were available today, that was clearly one of the first 7 or 8 stories in the world.
But I feel like Robin got overruled because they did a whole piece on the Lakers win over the Heat last night. And then she just like, I got to mention the WNBA. And then I think people are scared of her there because their response to it was unexpected, I think.
So all those people are watching the WNBA, the ones who are clapping in the background.
No, they're clapping because they don't want to get yelled at by Robin Roberts for not liking it.
Do you know, was that game sold out? I mean, I know it wasn't sold out, but were the seats filled?
You know what? I don't know. I'll have to look.
Brandon sent the list of the top 10 selling WNBA jerseys today.
Oh,
did
really?
They give quantities, by the way?
Yeah. Number one had sold about 32 jerseys worldwide.
Well, that's more than I thought.
Now, isn't this so? The Seattle Storm won the WNBA championship, right?
Yes.
Okay, they defeated the Las Vegas Aces, which is coached by Bill Laimbeer. And a question was asked, do you think Bill Laimbeer, with his WNBA championships, his head coaching record in the WNBA, and his playing record in the NBA, deserve a Hall of Fame bid?
Huh. Leave out the WNBA part and let me think about it.
That other team that came back from 3-1 down had LeBron on it, so it's a little different.
So
this time,
the Lakers Heat.
But Miami Heat, boy, they have it.
They fight, though.
They do.
They fight. They don't. They do not.
I'd like to point out George is bored out of his mind. He's sitting with a pen in his mouth.
I give up.
Yes. Okay. TJ, Seattle Storm.
Yes.
WNBA Game 5. Oh, well, so, I'm sorry. Game 5 of the NBA Finals.
Yes. That's coming up tomorrow.
Okay, my bad.
No, it's all right.
She's so wet, she doesn't even know what she's saying. Because
we have to congratulate the Seattle Storm, Breonna Stewart leading the team.
There were snail trails on my chair. Like, no one
never
should have sat
for
chair. After me, it was damp.
WNBA championship. Veteran superstar Sue Bird has been there for all 4 trophies in 3 different decades.
Oh, wow.
And the other half of the sports power couple, Megan Rapinoe, was there in the bubble to see Bird's spectacular championship.
Her
the
life.
Team celebrating. They had confetti. They had the
you
champagne
guys scissor
showers,
in their celebration?
Yeah.
No one had a
on the middle of the court.
Face in Stewie. 26 Stewie. Points in the game. Unanimous pick for the finals MVP. Congratulations to the Storm.
Congratulations to them. Coming up, tribute.
Insincere.
Is there any way to find out if that stadium was full?
I'll look.
I'm just curious. Maybe it was.
How did they cover? Did Robin pretend like she knew who Van Halen was? Because Gail on CBS pretended like she knew who Eddie Van Halen was.
I think Gail does know who Eddie Van Halen is.
Yeah, she might.
Gail, by the way, what a colorful dresser.
She is that.
Here, I think this is where they go into the Eddie story. They're watching some stupid shark video.
Not too close.
Not too close.
Let's see how fake coverage this is.
Right there. All right, but we're going to begin with the tributes pouring in.
Michael acts like he knows who Van Halen is.
The rock and roll icon erupted onto the world stage in the 1970s. He was a force of music who would redefine guitar playing for generations, becoming one of the most influential musicians of all time. Chris Connelly joins us now to tell us more.
Chris Connelly.
I know we're getting into Eddie Van Halen again, but I was really hoping to hear the top 10 list of these WNBA jerseys.
Go for it. Sorry.
Fuck.
Go for it.
Because I can't get the number one, but I can get like the number two, three, or four, because that would be cool. That would be in. Well, Drew has them.
No, I don't have the list in front of me. I'm not going to read the list anyway. Sue Bird was number one, wasn't
she? Oh,
really? Yeah, I think she was.
Hmm. Isn't she the only anybody really? Do you know who Diana Taurasi is?
Yeah, only because of Marasso's story, where Marasso was convinced he could nail her. Do you remember that story?
Huh? Wait, why did he think that?
Because he was at an event with her, and he was convinced
she wanted him.
He was feeling the vibes off her, but I want to say she has a wife now. So
yeah, she's married.
That shows how hot Joe was at the time. They made a big to-do about the WNBA attendance being up 40%, or the ratings were up 40% this year, but they didn't mention the NBA ratings, interestingly, which are down 70% from 2018. 70%. So the only reason I knew that exact number was because, and I was actually reading about the game, and then I saw on Twitter that Ted Cruz and Mark Cuban are having a Twitter argument.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Great.
I thought Cubes' argument was good.
I'm always going to go with Cubes.
Did you see what he said?
His argument was pretty much that
Ted wrote hashtag go woke, go broke or something. Get woke, go broke.
Yeah.
And so Cuban's like, you have three NBA franchises in your state and you're rooting for them to go broke and when they employ a lot of people.
Yeah, it's a good comeback, but unfortunately, Ted Cruz is right. I mean, I don't know why Cuban keeps arguing with all these people about their TV ratings. Their TV ratings are terrible.
Because it doesn't matter when you get paid, you know, you got that money.
No, it doesn't really matter. But Cuban seems to be saying, you know, is it really wrong to be talking, you know, to be rooting for equality and blah, blah. Well, no, it's not. Nobody's saying it's wrong, but it's you're losing your audience. So he seems to be saying, we're right, you're wrong. Here's another lecture for you. And we may have lost 70% of the audience, but at least we're on the moral high ground. So, you know, if that's what they want, if that's more important to them than having audience, I just think the whole thing is a big lecture to people anymore. They just, it's like hearing about voting to me. It just goes, whoosh. When you say something, when people are constantly barraged by the same message, I think it just wears out. Plus, it's not a simple message to say BLM. A lot of people, BLM doesn't mean the same thing to everybody.
I just realized something stupid. You were asking about the attendance at the WNBA game.
Yeah.
They're in a bubble.
Oh. Duh. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
Right.
So they have the same attendance as the NBA.
Yeah.
So good for them. And Cuban's arguing with somebody from Fox Sports, too. He and Clay Travis, is it?
Oh, Clay Travis. Yeah, he's always stirring up shit.
Yeah, I don't know. Why would Mark Cuban respond to that guy? I've never even heard of that guy.
Oh, he's pretty well known.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
What's he part what does of? Outkick the coverage with Whitmore?
Jason Whitlock.
Mm-hmm. Whitlock.
Oh. But what is his show, Clay Travis? What does he do? Is he on a TV show?
Well, you know, he does a radio show on Fox Sports. He had Trump on like a couple weeks ago.
Do people listen to Fox Sports Radio?
Someone must.
I mean, honestly, I've never heard anybody say, did you hear about Clay Travis today? I mean, until I saw him arguing on Twitter with Mark Cuban. So it's good for Clay Travis, I guess.
Oh, he pops up every once in a while.
Yeah, he's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Patriots and Titans may not play this weekend.
Here you go, NFL. The Patriots lose their two best players, really. Their most important player on offense in Cam and the defensive player of the year last year with COVID.
Are they really not going to play?
There's talk about them not being able to play, and they might be moved to, you know, they still have their bye week, but the Titans have already used theirs because of last week, so they might have to just forfeit the game.
Forfeit the game?
Yeah, because they've already used their bye week, so the NFL's going to say, you didn't follow the protocols, you had an outbreak, so therefore...
By the way, what did they do that didn't follow the protocols?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, the NFL won't even tell you exactly what is. They're very secretive with what they're supposed to be doing and what they have done or haven't done. You know,
they have the players' health mostly in mind.
Yeah, that's why they haven't played football.
And they find the. Yeah, I know. They've always cared about players' health. They find the Raiders. I don't know if you saw that story because they went to a charity party without masks. And now Maurice Hurst, former Wolverine who plays for the Raiders, has tested positive, too.
Oh, boy.
I know. It's just a mess.
Yeah. You know, the guy who was on Saturday Night Live this Saturday night is a country singer. And somebody has put together a little montage of him at the Alabama Texas A&M game. Mm. And then he's at a bar doing shots. And then he's in some fan's car. But he had some wild night. In Tuscaloosa or wherever the game was. The game in Tuscaloosa?
You know what? I don't remember.
Well, anyway.
Oh, this is Morgan Wallen?
Morgan Wallen, yeah. And so people are suggesting that Saturday Night Live can't have him on because he's not wearing a mask in the pictures.
They already canceled.
They did cancel him?
He's
no
gone.
Shit.
They canceled Morgan Wallen, yep, because of the protocols.
And Variety.
Who steps in? Who's the music this week?
John Legend, he's available. Alicia Keys, maybe.
Yeah, it'll be somebody
Common.
From their house.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. It's New York. There's got to be an artist. Paul Simon.
By the way, I saw Common in a movie over the weekend. Oh, my God. He's not a great actor at all.
No. What?
Who, Trudy?
Common.
Oh, Common.
The entire time I keep thinking, your heart is important.
What movie is
that movie? Ava. It's redheaded chick. Oh God.
Your heart is necessary at this time.
Jessica Chastain.
Jessica Chastain, right? And
John Malkovich. And Colin
he was
Farrell.
Good in Smoking Aces.
Oh yeah,
I love that film. And everybody
he's good
hates
in that movie.
It,
I love that film too, Brandon. Thank Smoking
you.
Aces.
Did you like this Ava movie? This looks interesting.
It was kind of okay. It was a little bit like unbelievable that she's got to be what 5 foot nothing, and she beats up all these people. And
yeah, but wasn't she in? Was she in Zero Dark Thirty?
Yeah.
So sure. She that's where she got her
too.
Training.
She's in The Martian.
Oh God!
All over the place. But Malkovich was really good in it, and so was Colin
Farrell.
Farrell.
Do you want to know when it's Rotten Tomatoes?
I haven't seen Colin Farrell in anything in a while. I can't remember. Is he in stuff that I don't see?
He's been in a couple of things.
I like him.
Anybody want to guess it's Rotten Tomatoes score?
Okay, Ava. Is it Ava?
It's called Ava, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, can I watch the trailer first?
Sure.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
I got to find a way so you can't see the score, though. Hang on.
Yeah, the last thing that I think I saw Colin Farrell in was Horrible Bosses. That was 10 years ago.
I think I've seen this trailer, actually.
For Ava?
Yeah, I think I have, and it looked really strange. Hold on, let me, I can watch on my phone. Ridiculous. But John Malkovich is, you know, he's a critically acclaimed guy.
He's a great actor.
No, he's so I love him,
good,
but
good
I,
in any.
I mean, he can't save a bad movie.
What do you see?
Peter, why would someone not want you to be alive anymore?
Why would someone not want you to be alive anymore?
What are you talking about?
Ooh, she pulled the gun on that guy.
Code 8227.
Confirmed. Subject's closed.
Ooh, she took off her wig.
She smokes.
I know you like Ava. But she's a liability.
No, not her. She's best to brief. I recruited her. I trained her.
She's talking to the targets!
I'm yelling.
Ava.
I'm good. I promise you.
Keep your head down, kiddo. Management will be watching on this one.
You did something bad. I wouldn't have sent me if you had.
Oh, Jesus. This looks really stupid.
Who was responsible?
The company had nothing to do with it.
You don't believe that, Duke.
You keep breaking protocol.
I asked you to marry me, and then you just disappear.
Wait. She's supposed to... Common is her love interest?
Yeah, it was her previous love interest. Now he's hooked up with her sister.
Oh, she plays her sister too?
No, her sister is, another actress. But
sounds a little unbelievable.
This looks really stupid.
I'm your sister.
I'm a danger to the organization.
Whoa, that was kind of a cool move.
Have you ever had... killed.
What's Wait, that? So that chick is beating the shit out of everybody, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you ever had an intense conversation where you had to put your head on somebody else's head? To get the point across.
No.
I'm going to be able to protect you a second time.
I'll protect you.
This is a paycheck for Malkovich, I can tell already.
You need to rescind the kill order.
You know I can't do that.
I can't.
This is business.
Whoa, Malkovich and Colin Farrell in a fight?
Yeah.
Lovely morning for it, Ava.
Wait. Jessica Chastain's fighting Colin Farrell and
hey, this is too stupid.
Look at those haymakers.
Colin Farrell would just throw out the window.
Yeah, this is dumb. Pull out his big crank and hit her in the head with it.
Colin Farrell yelling into his phone all the time is getting tiresome.
I love that movie, Phone Booth. That was a good movie.
That was good. But he was yelling in his phone in two scenes I saw in the trailer. This looks like a bomb. I mean, this looks like a disaster.
Super hard up for something.
I'm going to say 22 for the critics.
19.
Oh,
no way. Really?
I swear to God.
I swear I was going to guess lower. For the people, I'll say 31.
37.
Ugh, fuck.
That was a paycheck for everybody is what that was.
God, did that look bad. Oh, my God. That looked terrible.
That looked really stupid.
But the point is, Common was terrible.
But they got all those big people in it. I mean, somebody got paid.
It's just funny when, you know, there's a critic that probably liked it.
Okay.
She produced the movie, too, so she probably got the biggest paycheck, don't you think?
She's over. That's the end of her career.
She's over?
Oh, one stinker, man.
That was bad. Colin Farrell, has he done a good movie in the last 10 years that I don't know about?
Yeah.
Was
he not in Jojo Rabbit? Was Colin Farrell in that?
I think he was, Trudy.
Yeah.
Is a phenomenal movie.
It's last year, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that is such a great movie.
Does he have a big role in it?
Huh?
Does he have a big role?
Isn't he a Nazi?
Yeah. That's a good movie. He's good in it.
He's a perfect Nazi.
Yeah.
I don't see him listed in Jojo.
Are we confusing him with somebody, Trudy?
Oh, let's see. Okay, so he was at maybe.
What are we confusing him with?
All those Nazis look alike.
Brandon, is there any other movie I should have seen in the last 10 years with Colin Farrell?
So I didn't see
Sam Rockwell.
The Gentleman, Dumbo, The Killing of a Sacred Deer, Solace.
The fuck is that?
The Lobster, Winter's Tale, Saving
Mr.
Banks.
Lobster.
Dead Man Down, Total Recall.
Yeah.
Horrible Bosses. 2011. It's the last movie I saw him in.
I just feel like he's just left the planet.
He's playing the Penguin in the new The Batman movie.
Oh, that's right. And supposedly he's really good.
I like that. Yeah. Maybe it'll be his comeback.
I don't think he needed to come back.
I think he's been there all along, but just not in high-profile flicks.
But Trudy,
he's got a huge crank.
He's kind of missing in action.
Did you ever see Seven Psychopaths?
Oh, that's another really great
Seven Psychopaths? Who's in it?
Everybody again.
A lot of people.
So at least seven.
Is that recent or is that oldie?
Colin Farrell, Sam Rockwell, which is probably what
I love Sam Rockwell and anything.
He's in Jojo Rabbit. You should watch it. Woody Harrelson, Christopher Walken, Tom Waits.
Tom Waits? Pretty cool.
Gabourey Sidibe.
Wait, the new hot get?
Precious.
The new hot version?
What, is she hot now?
They're claiming she's hot. Yeah, she's sizzling. She's sizzling.
Wait,
she and
Precious?
Rebel Wilson should do a spread together. I'm not kidding. That's what I was reading, that she's sizzling. She lost the weight and blah, blah, blah. And even though she loved being fat and she was perfectly happy fat, that she lost all the weight.
Really?
Yeah. Which, you know, it's weird that Rebel Wilson liked being 250, but she tries to lose all the weight. I don't know why.
Oh, wow. Precious looks great.
Let's see her. Where is she?
Yeah, Precious is a knockout now.
Really?
Everybody wants to bang Precious.
Seriously?
Yeah. She lost all the weight, and I think they, you know,
a bunch of loose skin.
They cut off all the skin, and they
really?
Patched her up, and
that's her.
Put new stuff inside her.
She's all yours. You can have her.
Oh, come on! I'm just saying that's impressive.
I mean, that's
yeah
compared
impressive.
To what she looked like.
She's at least down three Mandy Moores.
She is.
Oh, God, I'm happy for her. Good for her.
And they, they stuck stuff in her body, and they took stuff out of her body, and they reshaped her face, and
she got it all done.
I
as long as she's happy, I'm happy.
I'm trying to find her. I can't figure out how her name is spelled.
I like how her boyfriend looks like the dude
Kyle
from
Rooney.
Road Trip. Remember when they go to the fraternity and DJ Qualls?
Yeah.
No, it's Adrian Brody.
I'm sorry, Adrian Brody sleeps with that chick from the college sorority.
Yeah, and he's a dancing fool. I want to see that movie. That's actually a fun movie.
He said, "Who did he say?" I've had sex before, just never with another person.
Put on Dancing with the Stars, because there's a terrible thing that happened on Dancing with the Stars. They claimed, this is weird, there are all these reports that Anne Heche stormed off Dancing with the Stars. It's like, she stormed off? Oh, I got to see this. Well, they don't show it. They don't show her storming off.
What?
What happened was she opened up about her relationship with Ellen. And it's so fake, too. It's like, somebody just went, look, we got to talk about Ellen and the scissoring and all that and, you know, whatever. And she's going off anyway, so it's our last chance to get her to talk about scissoring with Ellen. So then they throw her off the show at the end.
A lesbian.
And she said that she was upset because, you know, she was so emotional talking about Ellen. And by the way, I think she exaggerated the discrimination against her.
She's an actress, so.
She knows so much about fish.
But she suggests that if she took Ellen as her date, that Fox would end her contract.
What?
That's what she said. And she said she wasn't allowed.
Seems fishy.
She wasn't allowed to do a movie for 10 years or something like that because she dated Ellen. I'm just telling you what she said. Go to the 2745 mark, please.
Love to get some of that fishtail.
I'm sorry, 27 what?
2745. And watch how awkwardly they act as if this is an actual conversation. But actually, there are people going, hey, ask her about Ellen. Just ask, get into the Ellen thing somehow.
The story I was reading about her storming off said she didn't do the media interviews afterwards. I'm like, wait, Dancing with the Stars just has like a post-game media show?
So.
Like a
Radio like a sporting Row?
Event? No, it's so stupid.
Scissor me timbers!
Yeah, you're ahead of it.
It's back. It's going. I think Bruno Tombioli's had some work done on his face.
Maybe.
Why is that name stuck in my head?
By the way, Tyra looks terrible.
Oh, Lord.
Trudy looked at her and immediately said the same thing I was thinking.
I recoiled.
What happened? Did she pack on pounds?
I don't know. She just looks like shit.
Her makeup is really bad, and I think she did pack on some pounds.
Tom Bergeron looks hotter right now. Right now. Just saying. Now, she could lose some weight or fix her hair, and maybe she could change it. Okay, look at this. They're just standing against the window like, oh, well, yeah, let's talk about your lesbian relationship.
In my life, you know, you pick yourself up and you test yourself up.
6, 7, 8.
This week, I am dancing the Paso Doble to Katy Perry's Rise.
Listen to the song.
Why does she sound so different? Doesn't she sound totally different?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very odd.
She reinvented herself.
I mean, the last time I heard her was her talking about Steve Martin.
And the fake language that she spoke. Remember that? Listen to this conversation. Tell me. I want a forensic accountant immediately.
When the fire's at my feet again, when the vultures start circling, I won't just survive, I will thrive. Mm-hmm. My story is a story that created change in the world, moved the needle for equal rights forward.
What do you think's going on in his
when
head?
When I fell in love with Ellen DeGeneres.
Why am I listening
to this? In 1997, I met Ellen DeGeneres at the Vanity Fair party, and that was the night that changed my life forever. My movie premiere, Volcano, I had told them that I was taking Ellen as my date, and I was told if I took Ellen, I would lose my Fox contract.
Oh, because
at that moment she took my hand and said, "Do what they say," and I say, "No thanks." I took Ellen to the premiere. I was ushered out by security before the movie
even
ended.
Peak was
and told
better
I was
anyway.
Not allowed to go to my own after party for fear that they would get pictures of me with a woman.
Mm.
It was unbelievable. Part of my naivete was that I had no idea. She was warning me, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen.
Well, you should have listened.
I was in a relationship with Ellen DeGeneres for 3.5 years, and the stigma attached to that relationship was so bad that I was fired from my multi-million dollar picture deal, and I did not work in a studio picture for 10 years.
Could it possibly be because that movie sucked?
It was terrible.
Yeah. I'm just
I didn't know you could just
one of the wettest we've ever seen from the standpoint of water.
Your contract is terminated. You brought Ellen DeGeneres. Your contract's terminated. I wouldn't think that would hold up in court.
No.
Really don't.
Your career, your life.
Look, he's acting as if he cares.
Thank you, my partner.
He's thanking her for moving the needle forward. He's a black guy, too.
How stupid.
I know, it was so dumb. Now go to the end when they blow her out.
I know, if I had a pussy, it'd be wet as shit. I'd be like squirting.
Apparently she thought giving up the Ellen story would keep her on at least another week.
The very, very end?
Yeah, it's the very, very end. She doesn't storm off, but you can see Tyra anyway. It's not probably worth seeing. That was the best part.
Oh, you got to see Tyra. How tired Tyra looks. Wow.
She got voted off. Oof. Ouch. And they made a fuck up, too. Tyra told somebody they were safe and they weren't safe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so the two couples had to run off the stage and a couple had to run back on the stage. Like, this was a scandal to end all scandals.
Like Moonlight.
And Tyra's like, hey, it's not my fault. I was just reading the card. Watch Tyra cover her ass. That's live TV. I just read the card. Not my fault.
Oh, just like Steve Harvey, right?
And Jimmy Kimmel at the Oscars.
Really, oh, she's awful.
It's not over yet. Yeah. The voting is now closed, and here are the results.
I think she has
COVID.
It's
going to be up to the judges to save
one. Okay, go past till there's like four couples on stage.
She looks terrible.
I know.
I would rather be with Tom Bergeron than her.
Or Bruno Tambioli. All his work that he got
Well,
done.
He'd be into it, at least. Okay, well, here we go. This is where it gets weird. Listen, Tyra, cover her ass.
There's actually been an error. I'm looking right now, and we have three couples. So we need to clarify this for one second. The bottom two couples are Anne and Keo, and Monica and Val.
Who are off the stage.
Please come back.
Oh, my God.
Monica, come back.
They have to run back on the stage like, la, 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 la.
This is live TV, right? This is the craziness of live TV.
No, this is a mistake.
You know, messed it up.
Sorry, guys. You know, things, it happened in the UK.
Yes. Okay. What? Thank you.
Oh, great. It's happening in the UK, so that means it should happen here.
I'm so sorry.
Should learn from the mistake.
It sure seems fishy.
Yeah, I was reading my cards, but my cards are wrong, so here we go.
No, I think you're wrong.
Okay. Again, it's somebody going to be up to the judges to save one of these couples.
I can't read it. There's no words on it.
As always, if two of the judges are divided, the third judge
forensic
will count
on whether she read the card right.
Vote. And again, we apologize for this. This is live TV, and we're all human.
Yeah,
no.
It's time,
sorry, you're supposed to be better than human.
Carrie,
I don't know, you know.
Would you like to say?
Okay, no lie, this is extremely difficult. I think both of you have shown improvement.
Who's the girl in the upper right? Is that the cheerleader coach?
We need an answer. Monica.
I have no idea who that is. Yeah, Monica. Yeah.
She looks great.
We need an answer really fast from Derek.
Oscar 2018. Man, the couple I'm going to save tonight, Anne, Keo. I love you so much, Anne. You did such an amazing job doing this.
Save. Then why are you throwing her off?
I dated Ellen.
Okay, I'm going to save Monica and Val.
Okay. All right, that means that Anne and Keo. Oh, gosh. Are eliminated.
I hate her outfit, by the way.
Yeah.
She was dancing in it like she thought it was the coolest outfit ever.
I know, but
which made it even worse.
I got to get the shirt her partner's wearing, though. I think I'd look good in that shirt.
The see-through shirt? Yeah, it's pretty hot.
We love you guys so much, all right? We're going to hear it one more time for Anne and Keo. We love you guys so much.
It's not storming out.
And then you guys go celebrate.
Yeah, but Monica, she stormed off of the media.
And you're going to see Anne and Keo tomorrow morning on Good Morning America.
False! She was not on.
Oh.
I fast-forwarded through the whole thing. I think she stormed out of that, too.
There you go.
I think she showed up just to storm off. There were commercials when she stormed out. There's definitely some storming going on here. Don't get the idea, because I watched that and I was
maybe
like, I don't see the storming.
And want to lay a couple of guys, and it got out of hand.
She stormed off.
So has she always had relationship problems? Is that her deal? Like, it's constant, isn't it?
Is she married now?
It's a great question.
She had relationship issues with Ellen, so she couldn't work again for 10 years. And Steve Martin,
yeah. But we know what a misogynist he is based on his tweet about Carrie Fisher.
Oh, yeah, he's terrible.
She is single.
Oh.
Was she married ever?
Yeah, she was married to Coleman Lafoon.
What?
One of the big names. And what they got? How long were they married?
They were married for, it looks like, a good number of years. Let's see.
Are you looking at her? Who dated who?
2001 to 2009.
Oh, yeah. She has a...
And it looks like she wanted to get back up on that pogo stick. Let's see.
She's an interesting
because
team.
He was entering your mouth.
Oh, no.
She's got... Let's see. Her Who's Dated Who starts with Lindsay Buckingham.
Oh.
What?
What? Really?
Yeah. Yeah. No joke. Well, then to Steve Martin.
Yeah, boy.
Neil Moritz.
He was entering your mouth.
Neil Moritz. Over to Ellen DeGeneres. And who to have a rebound after you break up with Ellen DeGeneres but Vince Vaughn?
What?
Wow. Yeah. Seriously?
Followed
he's
by Coleman Coley Lafoon, who she was married to, and then James Tupper. Back to the V with Liz Brixius.
What? Right. Really?
Hey. Love, and the, love that fishtail.
The most latest piece of ass is a guy named Thomas Jane. Not Jane
Thomas.
Thomas
Jane?
Thomas.
Wait, the actor?
Guy from yeah. Hung?
Yeah.
Yes.
He was only
yes.
hung in the show, Trudy.
That isn't my concern. It was that he shot it here in Ferndale, didn't he?
Ferndale, Royal Oak.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm reading. There's a story about they're quoting her from the show, and Independent has contacted Fox for comment in August.
Why? I know. Is anybody still there that would have made that decision?
Why wouldn't she sue the shit out of him? I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
That's not true.
I haven't spoken to Ellen in years. I listen to people who have. So, you know, if I'm standing someplace and I don't like what's going on there and I stay there, it's my fault. So what are the actions that got me there, and why can't I get out of it easily if that's not something I want to be engaged in? What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
I think she thinks too much.
Ellen is standing where she walks, and that is hers to continue that journey.
Yeah, like I said.
Jeez, there's a couple other articles about her. Let's see. And Hayes says he's open to reuniting with Ellen DeGeneres after powerful Dancing with the Stars performance. Mm. Surprises, it makes twist bang and do ballroom dances. So stern, not sent two couples. She accidentally told Cheer star Monica Eladma and her partner that they were safe from elimination. Moments later, Ty revealed there was actually an error in the control room.
Whoa.
And that she needed Monica and Val to return to the stage. This is live TV, right? This is the craziness of live TV. No, it's a mistake. It's a fuck up. That's what it is. Not live TV that did it. Someone did it. I think it was you. Unfortunately, Monica and Val were safe as Anne Haitian, Keo Matsepe were sent home. This was so also confusing for us, Anne told ET's Lauren Zima. It wasn't pleasant, to be honest. And said being on it Monday night. Did not feel great, especially after delivering such a powerful Paso Doble set to Katy Perry's Rise. It was not powerful, or you would not be going home. In an interview that aired before the dance, she opened up about a years-long relationship with Ellen DeGeneres and the scrutiny she faced. When I told my story last night, it triggered something in me. It took me 20 years to tell my story and articulate the way Dancing with the Stars allowed me to. Oh, no one else will let her tell that story? Really? No one? No, do not tell the story. Do not talk about Ellen. We don't want the clicks. We do not want the clicks. So to be voted off the same night I told that story, I had a similar feeling to what it was like I experienced years ago. What? She was triggered! It doesn't feel good to be put in a position where you tell your truth and it's not received the way you want it to be. The people had already voted! Nobody received anything. What, the three judges? She's saying the judges didn't receive her story properly? So they voted her out? It doesn't feel good to be... And the people vote. The people already voted, right? Yeah. They vote after the show Monday.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll continue. But when we tell our stories, we share our respect for one another. I hope that by sharing it, we encourage others to do the same. And told ET that Ellen probably had no idea she'd be speaking about their former romance on the show. Heck no, Ellen and I haven't spoken in years.
I don't take no orders from no woman, by the way.
She's a bitch and I'm a bitch too, so why would we talk? But said she'd be open to reuniting with the talk show someday if the opportunity presents itself. With relationships like many of us have been there, you come to a fork in the road. What do you want? And what do I want? We're both horrible people. These goals, that intent in life is determined by the individual. Her intent and my intent were different, and that's why we were separated.
Ellen made a comment, by the way.
Great.
Part of my pajama pants are drenched right now, and they're not drenched with pee.
I was part of a revolution that helped move equality forward. I would not have been able to do that if I had not fallen in love with Ellen.
Full lightning bolt through my slit.
There's nothing more that I wear with a privilege in my life than being a person who is told the truth and stands up for it. I'm a great person. No one can argue about that. There's no timeline for truth. I live in love, and that's it. I am a fantastic person who does great things. Wow. Period. End of story. I embellish some of the quotes.
Will they also go down on my butthole?
So who did it better, Tyra Banks or this guy?
I have to apologize.
This is a crowd go ape shit for no reason. I don't know what happened.
People love apologies.
The first runner-up is Columbia.
This is also after she had been trancing around with the tiara on her big bouquet of flowers.
And they tear it off her head.
I don't know, you know. It happens.
I love how Harvey let it hang here, too. Like, no explanation.
Miss Universe 2015 is Philippines.
I think you should have said it with somebody who'd already been eliminated like three eliminations ago. Oh, my God, it's Illinois!
Well, yeah, Miss
this
Universe.
This is crazy!
Good job, Harvey.
Well, at least he didn't blame anybody else yet. Didn't he take the blame for it?
Folks, let me just take control of this.
I didn't know what the runner-up thing meant.
What's on the card? I will take responsibility for this. It was my mistake. It was on the card. Horrible mistake. But the right thing, I can show it to you right here.
I don't know, you know. First it happened.
It's Columbia. It is my mistake. Still a great night.
No.
Please don't hold
not
it
for
against
you.
The ladies. Please don't.
Please don't hold it against the ladies. Who was plotting and planning there to hold it against Miss Columbia?
I think he should have called it a tie after he screwed up. He said, nope, we was recalibrating. It's a tie.
Who would have known had he done that?
Nobody.
No one
RV plays by his own rules.
So WDIV Channel 4 did a poll, and Governor Gretchen Whitmer is viewed favorably by 51% of Michiganders.
Down.
Yeah, it is down. 41% view her unfavorably. Early September, she was at 59% approval. And if you remember going back a few months, she was, I think, around 73 or something. So, I don't know. It happens.
I don't know, you know. It happens.
Whitmer. Breaking news with Mort Krim.
Whoa, what's going on?
What is it?
Just a very, very important piece of the 2020 general election that will be taking place November 3rd of the year of our Lord 2020. Taylor Swift has endorsed Joe Biden for president of the United States of America.
I thought she was going to pick Trump for sure.
Okay. Just want to let you guys know that we can move on from this breaking news segment.
Stupid.
So the Swifties, how many Swifties are there? 126 million or something?
Yeah,
that's 126 million votes.
Did she encourage them to, are they of voting age?
I don't know.
She encouraged
them. You know, it happens.
I don't know. You know, it happens. I've seen girls do this.
Governor Whitmer also called Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky anti-science because he's against statewide mask requirement. So she's mad at the Supreme Court. She's mad at the Republicans. Maybe that'll bring her back up. And today was count day, so hopefully everybody went to school, because to school is optional for kids these days.
Oh, my God. Count day is going
to
suck.
And they have count day so that everyone knows you have to show up on that. That's the one day a year. If you're going to go to school one day a year, go for count day.
What prizes were they giving away?
They're always giving stuff away. I'm not sure what exactly they were giving away today, but I'm sure they're probably giving away cars by now.
They do random
a lot of money.
Can they do random count days and then average them instead of trying to entice them?
Well, they want to fake the people out that there's always that many people.
That's stupid.
And everybody knows kids don't have to go to school. It's optional, except for the one day.
It happens.
And hopefully they had a good turnout.
It's the most insincere thing ever.
let's see what else. Hey, Derek Chauvin, the guy that had his knee on Floyd's neck,
mm-hmm.
he is out.
Yep, posted a
bonded out
non-cash bond. Yep,
that makes all four right. All four police officers now out.
Yeah,
that was $1 million non-cash bond. Mm-hmm. That's interesting that he got $1 million bond.
Well,
you really think he's going to kill somebody?
Did he have GoFundMe?
I think he does actually.
Well, are you
I think his
me,
attorney.
Really?
I think he has a GoFundMe for his attorneys. I think,
okay.
But I don't think he started it. Or maybe that might be the cop in Atlanta now that I think about it.
I was going
to
say, I thought that GoFundMe was taking down stuff like that. Like, I know they took down Kyle Rittenhouse's GoFundMe.
What?
Didn't they?
Kyle Rittenhouse?
He's not upset for Kyle Rittenhouse.
Why are they picking on Kyle Rittenhouse, a 17-year-old?
Just a child.
He crossed state lines to save lives and just happened to shoot two people.
How's the only thing I can see on GoFundMe regarding Derek Chauvin is a travel fund to observe the trial. It's a GoFundMe for somebody so they could watch him be sentenced.
Why does that? Why does this person have to go watch it? Who are they? Why are they so special?
I don't know, but nobody likes them, and so no one's donated any money.
How's this real estate biz in Florida? You going to go back to that?
That's right, Chauvin. Chauvin. Yeah. I forgot about that.
He's a real estate business?
Yeah. Didn't you remember him and his wife have a real estate business?
I thought he was a cop.
And Flo Rida? Yeah. No, that's his side hustle.
Oh. Yeah, I don't think that'd be good for business. I don't think that probably is going to help him.
Probably not, no.
Oh, well.
Can you see the for sale by Derek Chauvin out front of the house? Probably wouldn't.
Sold by Derek Chauvin.
And his picture for the board is the one with his knee on George Floyd. But they cropped out Floyd.
Really racist parts of Florida might like that.
What? There's racist parts of Florida?
There aren't.
There are a few rednecks in Florida.
There are.
COVID cases are up. I could swear I saw they're up in 32 states. And then I watched, I think it was the 4 o'clock news, and they said they're up in 21 states. So I'm confused. But they did say that deaths, and I noticed this, deaths are trending downward for 2 months now. So, I mean, for what it's worth.
COVID-19 is a scam.
COVID-19 is doing, 50,000 cases a day now or something?
I don't know.
But the last few days, I think it was like 300 deaths one day, 800 deaths, 700 deaths. I mean, not that that isn't too many, but it's a lot less for whatever reason. Nobody's explained. Well, I guess I think we have an idea why that is, that a lot of the older people that got it, who were most vulnerable, probably just died. And the low-hanging fruit theory, which is a lovely way to put it, I think. That's terrible. Anyway. All right. Well,
we didn't even talk about Ken Bone, though.
He's trending again.
What happened to Ken Bone?
And he's tweeting about the election.
And he's fighting with everybody on Twitter.
Why is he fighting with people?
I'm ready to fight with him because I'm pissed that he didn't return our call. We had the idea to get a hold of him first. Yeah. He was ready for debate.
He answers
season.
Newsweek's call.
Yeah, fuck you, Bone.
What is he arguing about? He claims he's undecided again.
No, he said he's voting for, is it Joe Johnson, some third-party candidate?
Oh, is that why people are pissed at him?
I don't know why people are pissed at him.
Probably he doesn't like either candidate.
Yeah. Well, that's what he said. He said they're uncommitted, which means that you really don't have a positive opinion of either candidate. That's not really true. Some people vote on one issue. Some people vote because they don't like the other guy. But, you know, Ken Bone
I can't believe this guy can still get in Newsweek because he wore a fucking sweater
to a
debate.
We want to call him as a goof.
There's no way. Would he answer the phone?
You want me to try him
real
quick?
No, we've tried. Remember, we talked to his grandma.
Try him real quick. We can try him on the outro.
Will you pull him up really quick?
Give him the egg timer will be the end of the outro for him. To pay him back because he's
business. We talked to his grandmother, remember, because he wouldn't answer the phone?
But that was a different number, yeah.
Is this Bone?
Yeah.
Hello? Yeah.
KB! Shit. Kenny Bone!
Who's this?
It's the Drew and Mike Show in Detroit. We talked to you the night you were on the debate in your sweater.
Well, the next day.
Sunday, you also called my grandma and harassed her. Get bent.
Harassed her?
Oh.
What?
He told you to get bent.
Get bent.
Yeah, get bent.
Get bent.
Call him back. We got disconnected. He did not mean to hang up on us. Either that or we're calling his grandmother. What do you mean harassed
Bone's
her?
Trying to bring that back. Get bent.
Did we harass his grandmother?
Is this another Rob Schneider deal?
Oh yeah, Rob Schneider's tweeting too about political stuff.
Yeah, boy. I bet he's a Trump lover, isn't he?
No.
No?
No.
What's up?
Are we live on the air?
No, Ken, we're recording our podcast.
Oh, that's a damn shame because I was gonna get you in some FCC trouble. Go fuck yourself.
Oh, fuck you. What did we do to his grandmother? I thought we had a friendly conversation with her.
I think Bone's head is getting too big. Yo, big Bone head. Big Ken Bone head.
God.
Okay, I do believe there were many facetious things going on in that phone call, but I'm surprised his grandmother would go, I was harassed by that. She stayed on the phone with us for 5 minutes, didn't she?
Asshole, yeah.
Yeah. I thought she was very friendly.
Hi, Grandma.
Do you suppose he listened to the comments after or before?
No, I don't think he listened to any of it. He probably talked to her.
He probably took the phone. He's so into himself. He probably took the phone number off her phone and then went into the podcast and listened to it.
Oh, maybe.
Whatever. Hi, Grandma.
I don't know. I don't think we harassed her, did we?
No. And if we really did, wouldn't you think you would have contacted the people that harassed your grandmother?
Oh, I don't know. Well, there was the business about his dad living at home.
Which is a fact.
In the basement. It is a fact. And he is in the basement. That's been verified.
Ken Bone has zero sense of humor. Seriously, does that guy have a sense of humor?
No, I guess not. I thought he did. But it all kind of got away from him because he got so big so fast. All of a sudden, he was on Twitter, and he was a big star on Twitter. And then he had his podcast, which I do believe he has pod-faded. Although I would be surprised if there's a new podcast up in the next day or so, because he went wild on Twitter today. Didn't he, Brandon?
He did. No, he popped off against everybody.
Who is he popping off against?
Well, I mean, let me explain. They first came to him because he showed up in this Newsweek article.
Oh.
And they said that he was undecided, and so everybody just kind of gave him shots like, shut up, Bone. Don't get involved in this one, Bone.
Oh, so that's why he's taking it out on us.
Robbie feels better about himself, Bone.
Rob Schneider's for Biden?
No, I think I misinterpreted that. He's bitching about Gavin Newsom and California's strict laws. And he was bitching about Gretchen, too. So I don't know where he's at.
My theory is probably right.
Yeah, you probably are.
We'll see.
Is officially underway. Jews, Christians, and Muslims have united, ushering in 10 years of Van Halen. Out in the crowd, people are celebrating like never before. Place to be.
All units, this is dispatch. We've got a red station wagon blasting Panama and being awesome and partying and being rad.
Not in my town, dispatch. This is Officer Stickbutt in pursuit.
Stickbutt, break off pursuit. Panama kicks too much ass and shreds way too hard. You'll never catch him.
Negative, dispatch. Just need to wait for that running a little bit hot tonight part. Bingo. Got him now. I can barely see the road from the heat coming on. What's he doing? Suspect is headed toward Unjumpable Canyon. It's totally unjumpable. Unless...
Unless what, stick butt? Over.
Dear God, he's gonna do it. He's gonna time his jump for the greatest harmonized sound drop in 80s rock history.
You're right. The part that goes, hey, no.
Hi,
who?
And Mike.
Or and Mike.
Yeah.
Both of you.
Ed, this is unbelievable. Obviously, you're my hero, you know. And the thing of it is,
tell me why first.
All right, let me remind you of a couple things.
Because you stopped drinking, Eddie.
No, that's not true. In fact, I should learn from you.
I thought you meant that for real.
Because I drink way too much. So I'll have to get some lessons from you on that.
Well, how old are you?
41.
Oh, okay. It's time to quit.
Yeah, same as you.
Hey, Eddie, you know, I often wonder this because, you know, a lot of people quit drinking and rock and roll. They quit partying, and they always say they're so happy and everything is better. But I always wonder, you know, do you miss it a little bit?
Wow.
You do.
There's no way. I don't know. Nobody's really ever asked me that. I mean, I've been sober pretty much 2 years. I slept during the Twister Project because, you know, it all depends on what's happening in your life, you know. I mean, it's very easy, you know, when you're just totally stressed out and everything's going wrong to go back to what you know.
Yeah, because given all the Dave and Sammy crap, I'd think you'd have to have a beer.
I didn't even mention their names, okay? I respect them both, you know, when Glenn Ballard and I were remastering the best of record, believe it or not, all I could think of was good memories.
Yeah.
Well, I quit.
Both of them. And look, they both chose their own path, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey.
Well, how many questions can you tolerate about former lead singers before you get really bummed out?
Yeah, you're probably so sick of it.
Well, just ask me, and I'll stop when I'm at it.
Okay. What was so complicated about? Now, I really followed the whole thing all the way. It was like, we're going to make these two songs for this greatest hits thing, and, you know, that's it. And then we don't really know beyond that. Now, I thought it was pretty simple, and then
telling you, unless Alex, Mike, and I, and Glenn Ballard, and Irwin, our engineer, were not here, I don't know what the hell happened.
Uh-huh. It's amazing.
When we were here, everything was very clear.
Right.
I mean, Dave even quote-unquote said, it started out with just one song.
Okay. Yeah. That's a great song, by the way.
Yeah, it is a great song.
Well, thank you very much. But the first song was Me, Wise Magic.
Right.
Now, granted, you know, he hadn't sang for I don't know how many months, so he's a little rusty, and it took a little longer than we expected to get the song out of him, you know, the performance.
Right.
And but he was a trooper, and, you know, he did a great job. He even said, when we were done with that song, when I said, do I do another one? And he goes, wow. I mean, this is like the first and only time that he has ever, like, thanked me.
Uh-huh.
In all the years I've known him. He said, you know, man, I appreciate this so much, man. Anyone else would have just thrown their arms up in the air and said, man, one's enough. Get the f*** out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
Beat that up.
yeah, no problem. We'll fix it.
The F word.
It's fixed.
But, yeah. You know, but he even, quote-unquote, said, hey, if it all ends tomorrow, this was like a week into it, you know? He goes, if it all ends tomorrow, at least we're friends now.
Wow.
You know? And I got a chance to do it with you guys again. And so I really thought we were friends.
Jesus.
And that's the first thing that went out the window, and it just blew me away. I was depressed for 2 weeks after that MTV.
Yeah, oh, with that MTV. You know, we saw that.
He goes,
wow.
He goes on to say that the only reason he did the MTV award was because it was some kind of publicity stunt. It was not at all.
Uh-huh.
You know, to do it, and he was all up for it. I'm the one who didn't want to go because I missed Wolfie's first day of school.
Mm-hmm.
The open letter to the world was really, that kind of was bizarre, wasn't it?
Jesus. You know, it's like, the first paragraph ends, Eddie did it.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
The thing is, when I get into this, I go too far. But, I mean, come on. We basically zoomed him from Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And what a zoo that was.
And I tell you, it was never alluded to or, hey, every other day I would have to tell him, Dave, you're putting a cart in front of a horse. We don't even have a song yet, and you pull a muscle in your leg preparing for a tour. Anyway, enough about that.
Okay.
To put it very simple and from my heart, the truth as I know it. Okay, Sammy was frustrated, and he said to me, quote unquote, yes, damn it, I'm frustrated, I want to go back to being a solo artist. Okay, now if I said to Al, Mike, and Sam, I'm going to do a solo record, does that mean that they fired me or I quit?
I mean that you quit.
Okay, Sammy quit.
Right. But you know, at the MTV Awards, it was so obvious that you guys were uncomfortable in that environment. I mean, it really...
I just didn't even want to be there, you know? I wanted to be with my son.
Well, he was so out of control. I mean, he immediately grabbed the microphone. You and Alex couldn't get a word in edgewise.
I had no idea, you know, all hell just broke loose up there.
I always thought it was great when you moved him aside. That was hilarious.
I tell you, but when I watch it back, I look like an idiot.
No, you don't. That. No. No, that's true because everybody was feeling that right there. And it was like, yes, because it really was out of hand.
Well, you know, I guess what bothered me more is the fact that you know, when Beck was trying to give his acceptance speech, you know, Dave was standing right behind him, you know, shaking his ass and doing stuff.
Yeah, right.
That was the worst of it. It's like, come on, you know, it's not about you, Dave.
Well, you're probably tired of talking about this, so let's talk about Gary Cherone. What's going on there?
He is smoking.
Yeah?
It's working out.
He's incredible. There's not a hint of LSD, which is lead singer disorder. He's just a wonderful guy. But we're running way behind just because so much stuff's been happening. It's like, you know, originally we were going to take the high road, you know, not respond to Sammy or Dave's BS at all.
Mm-hmm.
But with the internet and people saying, oh, wait a minute, how can they both be wrong? You know, we had to do all the press and stuff, which kept us from being able to work in the studio for a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom got ovarian cancer.
Oh, boy.
And my wife's in Park City, Utah for the last 2.5 months doing a miniseries on Mr. Mom.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, for the last, almost 2.5 months, every morning I wake up at 6:30, make Wolf his breakfast, make his lunch, drive him to school, 2:30 I pick him up. And, you know, sometimes I have someone to watch him after school. Sometimes I don't.
Yeah, hey, that's kind of funny. What's it like for, you know, Eddie Van Halen showing up to pick his kid up at school? Do they make a big hoo-ha about
that's
it?
That's wild.
Well, believe it or not, the teacher trips because, you know, when I meet other people, I go, hi, I'm Eddie, who are you? You know, just, you know, meeting people, they go, oh, I'm Nanny for so-and-so.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all nannies.
Yeah, because that would seem like it'd be weird, like when it's parents' night or something, there'd be like 3,000 fans or something.
I do the PTA meetings, everything.
Eddie in a PTA meeting.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
I tell you.
I know, it's weird, isn't it?
I can't just shuffle them off on a nanny.
No, I know.
You know, I mean, every now and then, yes.
So when you selected Gary Cherone, was there anybody else that you know we really know about that you were thinking about, or came down to three or four guys, or was it just obvious?
For one, it would be pretty. There's no point in mentioning anybody else because it would be like rubbing it in that they didn't get the gig, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
You know, but there was only one other person, and he was an unknown guy. And I'm not even going to mention his name.
Mm-hmm. But Eddie, you'd boost his career.
The guy was an incredible singer. I sent Gary a tape of this pop, you know, real simple pop tune. And I actually sang a little bit on it to give him the direction of how I wanted the song to go. Getting the beat here.
Where are you, Eddie?
In the studio.
Oh, okay, cool.
I just asked him, you know, sing on it and send it back. And he sent it back, and I'm just going, whoa, this stinks. I call Ray, our manager, Ray Daniels, and I go, this Garrett, I mean, is he coming out for sure? I mean, what am I going to do with this guy all week? He goes, look, wherever he promised us, so look, if nothing happens by Wednesday, we'll just send him home, you know? I tell you, he showed up 10 minutes after he was here, for one, immediately, the vibe. He's just such a normal guy. I mean,
down to earth, eh?
Oh, I mean, he fits right in. It's like I've never worked with anybody who's as giving and open and I don't know. It's true collaboration.
What would you compare his singing style to? Is there a way, like a mix between maybe this guy?
I can't compare it to anyone. I don't know if I can say this on the radio, but he's got elephant balls. from heaven and hell, and he can sing like an angel. He can do anything.
Yeah.
Were you, after you got the demo tape back, were you ready to kind of let him down real slowly? Like, hey, guys, don't get too.
I actually told Ray, you know, not to have him come out.
Yeah.
But you know, Ray said, well, we promised him. So anyway, he came out. About 10 minutes after he was here, immediately the vibe was great. I said, hey, Gary, do you like singing? He goes, well, I guess that's why I'm here, and. We just blazed through 6 Van Halen songs, you know, 3 say, I'm not knocking them, you know.
Yeah, but anyway,
we're tuned standard pitch, and he just blew our minds. And so I had the cassette that he sent me sitting right here. I'm going, who is this jerk on this thing? You know, because he just blew my mind. It was a whole different. You know, he just walked in and just blew our minds.
See, that's something I've heard. Is this true that he probably doesn't have any problems singing any of those songs?
And
you think, Ed, you'll be doing things like Summer Nights or Mean Streets?
He will sing anything.
Yeah.
You know, he even said that, hey, you know, if we're playing somewhere in Roth or Sam here in town, let's get him on stage.
Mm-hmm.
That's how... You know, what a beautiful guy he is.
Well, that's one less problem when you go into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. At least Gary won't mind.
Yeah. Well, you could tell him Eli's
better. Well, you know, believe it or not, I won't mind either.
Yeah. It you seemed know? Like...
Well, no, it should be a
good... Hey, it's not like we did anything wrong.
No, it should be a lot of fun.
They made their own bet. It's not like, you know, we're a band.
Well, you could definitely see Dave could not hit those high notes anymore. And, we were kind of wondering, like, gee, you know, I wonder on tour how that would go, eh?
Well, you know... would be totally out of the question.
Yeah.
And that's what he wanted to do for the money. I mean, the money thrown at us is probably more than the gross national product of East and West Germany put together. It's not about that for us, man. It really isn't.
We got this transcript of one of his shows he was doing. Vegas routine. It was really frightening.
Oh, it was bad. Oh, it was embarrassing.
Well, you know, look, I still respect the guy. I mean, just, okay, we have so much music, it's ridiculous. We have enough for fucking three albums. Serious, you know? Yeah. And it's just a matter of, you know, because all the stuff has been kind of getting in the way, you know,
right.
With my mom having cancer and all the BS with the interviews and this and that. And,
well, don't let us get in your way, Eddie.
Yeah, there's no end to it.
Huh. I mean, I owe you guys this. I'm supposed to do this like that, you know, anniversary.
Well, you know, there have been so many jokes about it because Mike here is the biggest Van Halen fan. He knows everything about you. He's online constantly.
It.
And so the first time you're supposed to call
it.
When you didn't call, listeners and our producer would call for weeks on the hotline. They go, hey, Mike, it's Eddie. And it got to be a terrible running joke every time the hotline rang. Oh, this is probably Eddie. Mike goes online, you know, onto these Van Halen sites, and allegedly someone claiming to be Valerie comes on. When somebody says something really bodacious and you know, some BS about you, Eddie, someone who alleges to be Valerie comes online and corrects them. Is that Valerie?
Is that really her?
Right.
She's
my wife. She sticks up for me.
Yeah.
Hey, that's pretty cool.
Do you ever get on the internet, Ed?
I don't know. I'm like the Unabomber. I'm totally anti-technology. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, thank God that they haven't perfected sampling or computerizing a guitar.
Do you have people, Eddie, if you need to fax something, you just say, here, you fax this or whatever.
I don't know how to run any of it. Wolfie knows how to run a computer better than I do. Pretty good.
Hey, Ed, let me ask you, you know, for 316, is there, you know, just trying to learn the guitar, but are there some basic chords involved there in picking that thing?
It's very simple. It's just an A, and it's an A chord.
Okay.
And then a suspended A, and then a suspended B. So it's like.
Stop writing this down like it means something to you.
Get the thing turned down, right? It's hard. That's it.
So A.
It's simple.
Right, Ed. A suspended.
Okay. It is. You get 12 notes, you know, toss them up. You know, if it sounds good, it is good, period.
Eddie, you really are like Unabomber. You hate technology, but when it comes to your guitar, there's this absolute precision. Almost like, Unabomber's bombs. Because you used to...
I don't say that. Blow up, I hope.
No. But the way he takes apart guitars, Drew, I mean, it's unbelievable.
But didn't you used to use... I mean, didn't you used to literally select the lumber and get the chainsaw out and do all that stuff?
Yeah, but I've ruined a lot of great guitars doing that, too. I've learned a lot from it, too, you know.
Was that partially to guard your own personal secrets? Because I read somewhere that you used to play with your back to the audience so that, you know, your secrets would be safe.
Well, you know, that was kind of Alex telling me, hey, you know, wait till we have it on record because they're going to rip it.
Yeah.
You know, when I started doing the two-hand technique.
Yeah.
And as soon as the record came out, Everyone did.
Oh, yeah, everyone did. And then eventually it was that Stevie Vai was claiming he did. It was just, it was ridiculous.
Oh, of course.
It was just ridiculous.
They all came up with it.
Hey, Ed, what's...
That's okay with me. I don't care.
What scales do you mostly use?
Just 12 notes. I try to use them all and mix them up and whatever sounds good.
So you never stick with anything, like, in particular that you work with all the time. You're just all over it.
I can't. I can't read. Music. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. If it just sounds good,
then it's there.
And hey, you know, you guys have so much history with, you know, the two eras, and now you're moving into an entirely new thing. Are there a lot of archives like the Beatles for an anthology sort of thing, Eddie?
Oh man, there's so much music, it's ridiculous.
Would you ever go through it like they did and dig through those old gems and different versions of songs? Does that appeal to you?
I'm gonna have to one of these days. Hold on one second. Erwin. You know, the tape library back there?
Yeah.
How many hours of music do you think is there?
Thousands
of hours of music.
Oh.
What we did years ago was, instead of writing down on the box what was on tape, we numbered them and put it in the computer, and when you punch up the number, it would say what was on the tape. Okay, and it was a I'm not slamming Radio Shack, but it was a radio shack. The thing took a dump on us, and I went everywhere. I'm talking used aircraft research. I go, I need the information off this hard drive. Nobody could get it out.
Oh, no.
So we got thousands of hours of music, and I don't know what the hell's on them, because they're not labeled. All they have is numbers on them.
Oh, God. What a pain in the ass.
But like I said, right now, I wrote that back in 83, and that was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
That was on there, you know. So every now and then, I prefer to, because it takes a long time, man, to go through tapes and listen. Because a lot of it, I'm just jamming and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe out of a 2-inch tape, a 15-minute tape, there might be 5 minutes of something in the middle that's great. It's easier for me to write a whole new song.
Did you highlight anything, Eddie? Did you highlight it or star it or any way of knowing it's good?
No, numbered them.
No wonder you hate technology.
Yeah. What an immense pain in the ass.
If I had to go through all those tapes, it would take me years.
Oh, God. Because that's the thing, isn't it? That you've got just literally, hundreds and hundreds of songs that are really just sitting there just waiting for lyrics, don't you really?
Well, believe it or not, you know, the thing is, you know, when Dave and Sammy were in the band, we all kind of just approached it like, okay, well, you get Sam and Dave, since they're the singer, you get first dibs on the vocal, you know, mm-hmm. writing the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always written lyrics,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Gary's very open to it.
Yeah, and in fact, there was a rumor that you're actually going to sing on one of these songs in the new record. Is that true?
Well, I mean, I kind of have to, because he handed me some lyrics, and the first time in my life, the lyrics just inspired me to the point where when I went down and sat down at the piano, the man upstairs just gave me the whole music. As long as the song is how long it took to write.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up singing it. Because the lyrics were just so moving that, you know, the next morning I played it for Gary and goes, is this kind of the vibe you were looking for? And he was just going, this is incredible. and my voice kind of sounds like a cross between John Waters and Tom Waits.
Yeah. Well, then again, you used to sing, though, in the very beginning.
Yeah,
didn't you?
Years ago, but I never learned
history.
I never technically learned correctly how to sing.
Yeah.
So I would kind of do Kurt Cobain, and after five songs and three beers, my throat would be gone.
That's right.
You know, I would just scream it out and not, and waste my voice, and then we just go straight into Green Jams and just play.
Okay, we're gonna take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Eddie Bleepin' Van Halen on the riff. 10 after 8, Drew and Mike with Eddie Van Halen, and oh, for God's sakes, Eddie was just playing a little stuff from the new CD for us during the commercials, which cannot be played over the air.
I know it. He actually lit up his guitar with the amps and the whole nine yards, man. God damn it, it's so good, it rocks.
When are we going to hear some of that stuff with Gary Cherone?
I think we're really going to hammer down after the first of the year.
Mm-hmm.
We're running behind. you know, but it's just, you know, family first.
Oh, yeah, right, you got to go to those PTA meetings.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
You know, my mom and, you know, it's just that's life, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Did you ever get up at those PTA meetings and just raise hell about something?
No.
No.
I just sit there and soak it up and I go, okay. See you. No, because really it's basically just, they just, you know, tell you what's going on and it's like, I already know what's going on.
Right.
Wolfie tells me.
Yeah.
You know, he loves it. He has a great time. You know, and the teacher digs him. She's really great.
Well, she should be teaching him how to go through all those tapes, Eddie.
Yeah, that's what should happen.
Well, you know, I had a miniature Wolfgang guitar built for him.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I tuned it in the chord, you know, so you can just strum it.
Yeah.
And he jams on it, man. He has a great groove.
Isn't that great?
He's got a great pitch.
Yeah. Yeah, are you using the Marshall, the PV 5150? I know that one guy, he, like, there was some guy came in, I remember reading, and got your old Marshall running really well. And said, do you switch between the two, or?
You know, I use the 5150s, and every now and then I'll go back and try the Marshall, but I don't know, it just, I'm always searching, you know, there's never, something that I stick with, you know.
Right.
So right now, we're in the process of, building, designing a 5150/2, which will do more than this one. This one basically, was designed to just balls to the wall. You know, it doesn't really have a great clean sound.
And you have some modifications in there as well, don't you?
No.
You don't?
No.
Oh, I thought you did.
Nope. What I play is what's being sold.
Yeah.
There's no tricks. There's nothing, you know?
Yeah, I do. I understand totally.
About the old Marshall that, okay, there was a guy named Jose Arredondo who I felt like helping him out. You know, the guy needed money, so, you know, I hate lying, but I you know, people always wanted to know what I used.
Right.
But, it's a stock Marshall. All he ever did was retube it for me. But no one believed it.
Right. Okay? That's right. Yeah.
Okay. He modified it. He did this. He did that. And it gave a lot of business. This amp is completely stock. He never did anything except retube it.
Ed, you still using that ginseng? I remember when we were backstage with you, you pounded that stuff. And
well, yeah, you know, I don't know if it really works or not.
Well, you know what? Ed is like Damon. We've talked to him before from Brother Kane, and, uh-huh. and we were he's a good friend of ours, and he was talking about how he would watch you with that stuff, and he tried it, and he ended up a nervous wreck when it hit his system. Remember that?
Yeah.
He was just like, whoa.
Maybe that's why I'm always nervous.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. That's it, yeah, man. Yeah.
Well, the reason I asked you if you missed partying, because I quit cigarettes for 2 years twice, and I just missed them all the time.
Yeah,
so I was always looking for
a toffee. You know, smoking is a dirty, filthy habit, but I'm telling you, I started playing guitar, smoking, and drinking at the age of 12. And so for about 29, 30 years, I did it one way. And, you know, the booze is no longer in the picture. I mean, I've slipped a few times, you know, I'm not, nobody's
Superman,
perfect,
yeah.
You know, but, I'm over the, you know, the actual, whatever, I don't, you know.
That'd have to be tough.
I do, I can stop after a beer.
Yeah, see, because yeah. I do overdrink. There's absolutely no question. I can't imagine.
You know, it's kind of like, hey, if one's good, 10 is better.
You know, that's exactly how I feel this minute.
It's a funny little story. When Sammy first joined the band, Al and I used to drink, like, I mean, we go through a case of Schlitz Malt, 16 ounces, you know.
Schlitz Malt?
Schlitz Malt.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that stuff years ago.
Malt liquor, the stuff that gets you there quicker.
Oh, Christ, man. I'll
anyway,
tell you.
So, about a month later, Sammy goes, wow, I thought you guys were, like, drinking and partying because you were happy because I was in the band. I'm going, no. This is what we do every day.
Yeah. Well, Well, that's a good thing you don't live by Canada, because they've got these maximum labats, you know. Yeah. And what a kickstart those are. It's like and one, like 7.3s, you know.
Yeah.
So, Eddie, when you quit drinking, was it almost like you had to relearn to play the guitar?
I tell you, I was a nervous wreck.
Oh, man.
The first gig was Pensacola, Florida, for the Balance Tour.
Yeah.
And on top of just being totally nervous, MTV is filming it live.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Going, God, what else can you lay on?
But Eddie, can't you?
I said to myself, I can make it through this gig. I can do anything.
But you couldn't say, go to hell, not the first night of the tour, come back another night?
Oh, sure you can. But, then you burn the bridge.
Right, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can be a prick about it if you want.
Well, I don't think it's unfair to say, hey, you know, I'm really getting past something here. Could you give me a few dates before you come? I mean, they would have come back. I'm just telling you, for your own good.
I don't know. Whatever. I made it through, and, you know.
I
think everything happens for a reason, and I made it through, and it made me better, stronger.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
Isn't that weird? Eddie Van Halen, after all these years and everything else, actually goes on stage a nervous wreck. Isn't that bizarre?
Every night.
It's bizarre.
Wait till he quits smoking.
I tell you, every night, man, I'm a nervous wreck before we go on stage. Sometimes to the point where I actually throw up before we go on.
Damn.
But once I get up on stage, it's totally different.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden it's like, yeah.
Then you're into it.
Look, you know, one great thing is, the circle is complete now. I mean, Gary is one of us. He's a soulful, down-to-earth guy, and we're going to go around the world. We've never been to Australia. We've never been, in 11 years, went to Europe twice.
And that's where you're open for Bon Jovi, right?
I don't consider it opening.
Yeah.
It was a festival, and we were one of the bands. John got a little uptight a few nights because we kind of, you know,
tore it up.
Away.
You know, we took care of business. You know? And then he came back and opened his show with what he was using for the encore. with the smoke bombs and the whole thing. You know?
Smoke bombs.
Which was the finale.
Five
shows before.
Yeah. Yeah,
Eddie. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it all the time, and I know you have been talking to a lot of people, and we sure enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it too,
Eddie. You're my absolute hero, and they have to come out with a poster of just you with the guitar, because I'm sick and tired of these posters. It's the wrong lead singer now, you know, all the time. Just make one goddamn poster of just you, please.
Oh God,
I'm begging you.
Get back to it, Eddie. We want to hear some more of that stuff real soon.
We'll get it out as soon as possible. You know, it's just it's been a rough 6 months.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. I know you're going through hell.
But
I hope
all this shall pass too.
Yeah. I all the best with your ma. I hope that that works out okay. And
she's 81 years old and she beat ovarian cancer.
Wow. That's something else, man.
So I mean, the doctors are saying, you're going to make some kind of medical history here, lady. You know? I'm just hoping I have a little bit of stock, you know?
Well, thanks again, Eddie.
You're very welcome.
I hope we talk to you soon.
We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
I really reached my breaking point after I made that jump to heroin, and I just knew if I didn't make a change, I would ultimately lose my life. I was passing by a police department, and I just made the split-second decision to walk in. The police officer greeted me, Hope Not Handcuffs arrived, and saved my life.
The first step doesn't need to be the hardest. Let us help guide you to recovery. Go to hopenothandcuffs.com to learn more.